Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
No.
Well, a couple things. I'm going to talk, but if you'd like to talk, 866-901-ADAM, now's the time, because we got things cooking today. Germany or Florida? It's weird. Germany or Florida is a cool idea. It's our idea, and yet I somehow lost track of it a few months ago, and I've just been reunited with it. So
you know
Germany
why?
Or Florida, yes.
You are a comedy factory, not a warehouse.
Yes.
You don't just stroll through your warehouse going, what's in here?
I do have ideas that if they were someone else's ideas, I think I would like them a lot better. But I've decided since I came up with them, they're mediocre at best. Germany or Florida, also Tommy Lee Jones on the phone today, who I'm very interested in talking to. Scott Baio's coming in studio. T and I are going to give out a little relationship advice by overwhelming demand, which is me saying, hey, we ought to kill a break by doing that again this week. Eric Stromer. Home Improvement calls. We'll do Home Improvement with Eric Stromer from Home Improvement Network. What's he on?
He's HGTV.
Home and Garden.
Over your head. Yeah.
I did Tom Green's show last night, and he does a show that's, I guess, on in Canada, on a handful of networks or markets or cable stations, and then on mainly in the internet. But I mentioned Eric Stromer and a 45-year-old woman, like a tampon went shooting out of her. Like she literally exploded.
The tampon shot out.
Shot out.
The home improvement shows are
killed a young black girl sleeping in a neighboring apartment. Yes.
So it
that's
was
the
a
tragedy of it.
Supermax.
Yes.
The home improvement shows are very popular in Canada.
Well, this woman was in California. Now, I don't know where she's from, but the point is they're very, Eric Stromer is very popular amongst 40-year-old home improvement women, or just 40-year-old women. He's a good-looking guy. Seems like he knows what he's doing.
Well, think about the Playgirls from the 70s. The guys were all dressed as carpenters.
Because
the fantasy is that you'll come over and fix stuff.
Well, that's what it is. What women, no matter what they say, no matter how...
Watch out, a tampon could come flying out.
No matter how evolved they, everyone thinks they are, there's no woman... Now, not the Paris Hilton types, maybe not the Lindsay Lohan types, not the young, drugged-up teeny boppers, but there's no woman that doesn't want some guy with broad shoulders and big hands to come over to their house and say, I'll handle it, ma'am. I'll take care of it.
Tampon's half out.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That means Teresa's done.
Even your wife, Adam, told me that when she sees you walking around the house, working, building with Assistant Jay, that she has a crush on you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. She
ought to express that through the majesty of cooking once in a while.
That wasn't where I thought you were going.
What I get when I do that stuff is that's what you do. You see, if you do stuff, people treat you like a woodland creature. When my wife sees me working around the house, it's like watching a squirrel storing nuts or a beaver building a dam. It's like, that's what they do. That's what they does. You don't get credit. You don't go, wow, look at that squirrel. That individual squirrel is awesome.
She says she gets a crush on you.
Yeah, she should say.
If you saw her cooking, would you feel something like a crush?
I'd feel a crush to get takeout. All right. 866-901-ADAM. I don't know. People pop on the phone line, then they pop off the phone line, then they pop off. I'm disgusted at you people, by the way.
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screener.
I'll tell you why.
Please, not me and Brian.
Because if I had the opportunity, and I don't know if I have to put some sort of title to it, like how say you or what do you have to say or some BS like that. But if I had the opportunity to call on this radio show and talk to a huge group of humanity, I would jump on it.
So you think if we just called it how say you?
If I gave it a stupid title and said, how say you, call up.
You know what? What's
up Wednesdays? The phone lines would light up. All right. I'm disgusted, all of you. I mean it. If I was driving into work and I was a civilian,
yeah,
and somebody said, yeah, wide open phone lines. Give me a buzz. What's on your mind? I couldn't dial fast enough.
You yourself called in to a show before you were a radio personality.
Me, myself, called in and never got called back and couldn't get through and went in.
Oh,
that's
you went
what,
in.
Me, myself, did.
That's how you met Kimmel.
Yes, that's how I met Kimmel. All right. And again, I don't know how these phone lines work, but I always see people popping up and then they pop off. So does that mean they have call up and hang up? What does that mean, Teddy?
Our screener screening them.
And then what happens? Because I'll see a bunch of people pop up and I'll see about everyone falls off.
Well, some people, they just want to ask where Danny is. People
we'll
wanna
talk to them.
I don't care if they want to ask for it. They
in
can ask
words,
you anything they
you're
want.
You're telling Teddy, don't screen. Just put them up.
So I'm not screening right now.
Well,
I'm funneling calls at this point.
Yes. Do more. You're better funnel than you are screen. I've said that many times.
You got it.
Right.
What about a better door than a window?
I always hear that one. I'm never exactly sure what it means.
When you're blocking the TV.
Yeah.
You're a better door than a window.
I hear that, but what does that mean?
You could see through a window.
So, but you're a better door?
You think you're a better window than a door would make sense.
Turns out I have no idea
what it means either.
Maybe the door's open.
There.
That's my point. All right, let's talk to Veronica. Or I could tell you something I noticed on the way in. All right, I'm going to talk to Veronica. Veronica?
Uh-huh.
What's going on?
Well, my husband doesn't really work around the house like Adam says that men just normally do.
No.
So how do we...
They used to normally do that, and then you beat that out of us.
That's our fault. Veronica wants her man
it
to
is.
Help out.
It is, because when you, it's a de facto problem. When you women decided to be men, then men decided to be women without you telling us. It was a silent mandate.
Yeah.
This is what mandate. This is what happened. You women said, why can't we go to work? Why can't we work on cars? Why do we have to stay home and take care of the kids? And we said, fine, you're right. And then we silently began to lactate. You understand?
Not completely.
You turned us into chicks. You turned into men and we turned into chicks. You know what it is? Hold on a second. I don't need to talk to Veronica. Now I'm fired up.
Yeah.
Here's what it is. There's this balance. And it used to be men were 90% men and women were 10% men and 90% woman. And as you guys became 35, 40 and start inching up toward 50% man, we started going down. It's like it's one of those math equations. We can't all be 90% man. As you got closer to 50% man, we dropped down toward woman. That's what happened. Now we got a bunch of chicks that go out and work and a bunch of guys who can't change a spare on their Hyundai. Veronica, sorry, baby girl.
Well, we need to sometimes be able to say, yeah, look, he worked on this and he finished it. My guy will start something and leave it halfway done.
Another
good
point.
So I have to walk around all his equipment, all his tools, and just walk around them all the time and tell the kids, don't touch, that's your dad's, leave it there.
Right.
And then a week later when he comes back
to
pick it up, he's looking for it. He's like, where'd it go? What'd the kids do with it?
Yeah, all right, Veronica, thank you.
Yeah?
You brought up two very good points. This is all I needed.
Yeah.
Just a little kickstart. Finishing. Guys don't do that. Women don't start, but guys don't finish. That's basically how it goes. My wife doesn't have projects that she started all over the house. But most guys I know have projects they've started and don't finish. Here's the problem. When you don't finish your products, it becomes a piece of you that lays around the house that mocks you. Oh, you pass it and you think you don't see it and you think it doesn't see you, but it does. And each time you walk down the hall and you pass that patch of hallway that you were going to paint 6 months ago and it's just primered, it whispers, loser. And you go, I'm going to the kitchen. I'm going to grab another Dr. Pepper. And you walk down the hall. It's like, loser. And you walk through it. And it's like, loser. And then once in a while, it screams loser because someone comes over. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to paint this hall. Loser.
What's that sound?
And then you start lying. It's been primed for like a week or something, maybe a couple days or something. I'm going to do it this week and lose, liar, loser. Your house becomes that. Your life becomes that.
Liar!
Start the project, finish it. So many people have so much difficulty with that. I swear to you, there should be a class in high school called Finish This Effing Project.
I agree.
Most people I know have a whole bunch of junk lying around their house unfinished.
And it does it taunts you. It does.
As it starts to pile up, as I said, if you're a Corolla, I can't remember if we were talking about this on the air or off the air, but what the Corollas like to do when the handle breaks off a coffee mug, because that coffee mug is very valuable, up to 40 cents. Well, I mean, the Corollas bought them used, so probably in the mid-20 cents. But when the handle busts off, they want to glue it on. They don't want to throw the coffee mug away. It's still good. All I got to do is glue the handle back on. Fine. So I don't throw the mug away. I don't put the mug away. I don't glue the handle back on. I set the mug with the broken handle hanging out of the top of it on the shelf in the kitchen where everyone can see it. And there it sits for the rest of eternity. And every time you walk into the kitchen, you'll notice it. But eventually it becomes part of the scenery. You see, there's no mandate because it's part of the scenery. So quietly, you know you're a loser. But on the level of appearances, nothing thrusts you into action. And there it is. And eventually, your house becomes a shrine to you being a loser. Because there's half-finished and undone projects everywhere. Everywhere, every room in the house, there's a subtle reminder that you're not taking care of business. And before you know it, you become that person.
I'm very interested in a call that
line
says
three.
Low energy, just a call, final call.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, how's it going, Adam?
What's happening, Paul?
Hey, I've been married for about 4 years, and I've noticed over the last 2 or 3 years, my wife's been more and more disappointed with me and gives me less and less credit, even though I do more and more things than I ever have. And the other day I said to my wife, "You're disappointed in me because I'm your husband. If I was just your boyfriend living with you, you would praise everything that I do because I do so much stuff for you. But because I have the title of your husband, you're disappointed in me all the time." And I don't know how I got to that, Adam.
Well, Paul, I'll tell you how to get out of it with Teresa's help.
Yeah.
Women do not judge you by your actions. Sadly, they judge you sort of by your emotions and how you treat them.
Correct.
Now, men, we sort of go by action. We sort of go, "Wow, man, I came home the other day. I could smell the beautiful brisket coming from the crock pot. I got myself some great oral sex. The house was clean. Everything was taken care of. This woman loves me."
Correct.
Now, what we try to do is we try to use that same brain to reciprocate. So we say, "Hey, woman, I took your car out. I changed the oil. I mowed the lawn. I cleaned the garage. Come on, who loves you?" And what they want is they want you to say, "This Saturday, I'm taking you on an intimate picnic." Or, "Baby, you look beautiful. I don't know if it's the light or if I just noticed it, but man, you've never looked better." Or, "Come here. Just let me give you a big, long, fat hug and kiss your neck all over the place and give you 40 minutes of, I was going to say something, 40 minutes of foreplay tonight because your body's a wonderland." That's what women want. So you, that, yes, go ahead.
I don't mean to cut you up, but I do that stuff too, Adam.
All right. But,
and as I'm thinking about this entity next to me, my wife, who maybe using this as a way of controlling me, only giving out just tiny little bits of approval. Sometimes when she comes home, I literally grab her by the hand and say, "Look what I did here." Exactly what you said.
I love that.
Yeah. Why do you think she's disappointed? What do you think she wants from you that she's not getting?
I don't know. I think that she's falling into the classic category of expecting me to fulfill every area of her life, and I just simply can't.
There is a lot of women and a syndrome out there. Guys don't have this nearly as much as women. They walk around perpetually disappointed, and this is why those guys don't ever want to tell their wives they're having a good time when their wife is not with them. Every guy I knew or know who's married, or just about everyone, if we went out of town to Vegas to watch a fight and then smoke some cigars and eat some steaks and go to a strip club and have a, boys' weekend, if we called back on Sunday and the wife said, how was it? We'd say, eh, it's all right. You know, it's not my kind of, yeah, I had to do a lot of work, a lot of business stuff. Nah, I didn't have any. That's the way you do it. Women, when they go do that, they're like, oh, awesome, had a great time. And guys are like, fine. I don't know why we have to manage expectations that way as guys, but that is definitely a syndrome that happens.
It is draining being around somebody who is perpetually disappointed and unhappy.
Yes. And when guys, thank you, when guys, no, seriously, when guys are perpetually disappointed and unhappy, they turn in on themselves.
Yeah.
When women do it, they spread it out.
Yeah, why aren't you making me happy?
Right, whereas guys are like, look, I'm going to close the door, leave me in here. I'm going to drown myself in sorrow and possibly semen. All right. Jeez, now we got a ton of calls.
I know.
I don't know what to do. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break. I like talking to you people, and we're all over the road, but someone got pulled over for turning left on an arrow yesterday.
And someone's been dumped.
Oh, always feel bad for that. Someone wants to heap praise on me. Wonder who we're going to talk to first. We'll take a quick break. Back with your calls next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And here's what's coming up this morning with, I forgot what he does around here. His name's Jack Silver.
Check, check, check. Y'all ready for a Jack Attack Peeps? Today, from No Country for Old Men, Oscar winner Tommy Lee Jones. Home Improvement Answers with HGTV's Eric Stromer. The Eastman and Teresa solve all your love drama. And 80s teen idol Scott Baio. You know, I've been called the Scott Baio of program directors. Wait, does Scott Baio have herpes? I see, so we can't say legally. Well, apparently I'm allegedly the Scott Baio of program directors. Wait.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're going to do a little Germany or Florida, but that'll have to wait because I love talking to you people. First, some complaints. Huh. Paul.
Yeah, that's me.
Paul has a bone to pick with me over my license plate rant, Paul.
Yeah, hey, I've listened to your rants for 2 years, and I love every one of them until the license plate one yesterday.
Yeah, I said I still have my dealer plastic plate on my car, and I leave it on even though I have my metal plates that were sent to me from the DMV 9 months ago. They're in the trunk of my car. In L.A., I don't put them on because I don't want the front license plate because I don't want to get the ticket going through the intersection with all the cameras. And they won't give you a ticket for no front license plate if the dealer plate is still on the back. Go ahead, Paul.
My problem is with hit and runs. When people don't have license plates, it's so much harder to find them.
Yeah. Well, T.S., because I'm the one who doesn't have the license plate, so if I ever hit and run anybody, I'm not worried about it. But, yeah, there's potential downside to it, but it's a thumbing your nose at the man, and I love that. I love the fact that Los Angeles puts a whole bunch of cameras up at intersections. Everything's in the name of safety, but it's really in the name of generating revenue. And if you don't have a front license plate, they can't get you. And I never put a front license plate on my car for that reason. Plus, it looks crappy. Plus, it can't be that dangerous because it's not necessary in half the country. But thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
Good times, my
Bye,
brother.
Paul.
Now, should we stick with the traffic theme or do you want to hop up to someone who... How about a guy on line one? Wants to know why I blindly follow Dr. Drew.
Oh.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
John, what's up?
Hey, you said a while back, and this kind of never left my mind, but I'll give you an example. One time you said that Dr. Drew said that urine is sterile. Am I right?
Yes, he did. I was already urinating in the sink at that point, but I doubled down after I heard that.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that would have been my move. But, I cleaned my my toilet last weekend with rubbing alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
A week before, I tried it with urine, and I didn't get great results.
Well, don't you clean your toilet on almost a daily basis with urine?
Oh, I mean, that's when I lived in a house. I live in an apartment. There's a lot less traffic.
Your roommates must love you.
I understand. Yeah, well, look, Dr. Drew, you know, I used to think that everything came out of your body was poison. As it turns out, the soft swirl is... going to kill you, but the lemonade is fine. Well, ask the yogis that drink it like Gatorade.
It was used as an antiseptic, I believe, at times during war.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get some hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, if you get hit by a jellyfish or man of war, you got to whiz. And, you know, when I go to the beach, that's what I do. People coming out of the ocean. Jellyfish? Then once in a while, I'll see a guy with just a little scuff on his knee. Jelly? No, it's from my wetsuit, dude. Out of the way! I don't argue with me, son.
I'm just trying to help you. It's antiviral and antifungal.
Ray, hold him down. There you go. Don't give me that mother of three crap. Hold still, baby. Yes, sorry.
Can I tell you something that I was also told in college? Mm. And I actually went to a four-year school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I took a class called Human Sexuality, and it was a town called Potsdam, New York, that's like way up by the Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the teacher said, she said, guys, you might not believe this, but a girl's mouth is the dirtiest orifice on her body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I looked around and, you know, it's like, how's that possible? And she said, well, think about it. You know, it's the one that she, you know, eats with, flosses, the most bacteria passes in and out of there.
Right.
So, you know, I kind of, you know, as a naive college student, I kind of took that as the gospel. And I told a friend of mine, and he said, and I'll make the radio friendly version of the statement. Would you rather venture to another girl's nether region, which is not where children are made,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to her mouth?
Mm-hmm.
With a non, you know.
Sure.
You know, that was a non-issue.
It's a hypothetical. I saw it on a Dixie Riddle cup once when I was a kid.
Yeah. So anyways, I just wanted to say that about Dr. Drew. I think he's right on with 99.99% of everything. But
not the urine.
Not the urine part.
All right. Thank you, John.
You rock, Adam.
Provocative. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things you always hear about the mouth being more, and then you have that thing where it's like a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth, or the worst creature you could be bit by would be a human being, because, and this and that, and it makes me think we're all just nuts about all this stuff.
Sure, there's germs in your mouth.
There's germs everywhere.
There aren't more germs in the female mouth than the male mouth.
They're not.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Who do I want to talk to now? Let's talk to, Shelly. Shelly.
Hi.
What's happening, Berkey?
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Shelly.
I just wanted to thank you for making traditional roles okay again.
Mm-hmm.
Because the older I get, the more I really just want a guy who can put air on my tires and make sure the oil gets changed on my car, and I will do the laundry and keep the house and cook, and we can both work, but it seems like...
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say this. I'm going to jump in, Shelley. I do believe that most women want what you claim you're trying to get away from over the last 30 years. Secretly, most women want a strong man, a man who's going to take charge, a man who's going to fix the house and who knows something about the car. You guys have been saying you don't want this, or... if not actually saying, I don't want this, I want roles to change over the last 30 years. But the reality is when push comes to shove, most women want this. No matter how progressive, no matter how deep embedded into San Francisco and how left-wing they are, Teresa Strasser, with her NYU education diploma.
You know what, though? Here's what I think, and
yes,
maybe you'll agree. Maybe, Shelley, you'll agree. I think what we wanted and what we do continue to want is the choice for it to be okay to stay home and cook and clean and watch your kids, for that to be as okay as it is to be in the working world and changing your own tires.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
And it's just hard though that the guys kind of that I'm dating at this age, I'm 29 again.
Same.
They aren't as capable of...
Hold on. Let me just...
things.
Some clarity. Shelly, you've been 29 for 4 months?
No, actually, this will be my second year at 29.
It'll be your second year. Okay. She has 6 years
Shelly.
At 29. So she's got you beat. Right. You want to date guys that are guys.
Yeah. And I was married once. And it turned out, I didn't know this until a couple years later, my dad hated my ex-husband. And he told me later it was because he couldn't do anything around the house. If the blinds needed to be up, I had to call my dad.
I've been there.
Because he's... the oil changes on the car. He was the one making sure that things were getting
checked.
And my husband was
Oh, well, let me make this, thanks, Shelley. Let me make this observation. I think a lot of women think it's an either-or proposition. Either you're going to get the guy who's oppressive, misogynistic, likes to have a three-martini lunch and have affairs on the side, who can work on the house, or you're going to get the super-sensitive puss who doesn't work on the house, but he'll not have any affairs and he'll treat you as an equal. I say you can have it both ways. I say you can have a guy who knows his way around the house, but is also a dedicated partner and sees you as an equal.
I agree. And
good
I think
luck, but he may be out there, perhaps Eric Stromer.
I think you can have it both ways as a guy. I think you can find a woman who works and has her own opinions, but, you know, doesn't mind baking a cake.
Yeah, I tuned out. Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
You got pulled over?
Yeah, last night, I'm a truck driver, but I got in my car to leave work in North Portland. Mm-hmm. And I pulled up industrial area. As you know, there's nobody around at that time. And I was making a left-hand turn, and everything was perfect. So I got a little further down the road, a few miles, and was stuck at another left turn. And I waited a minute or two, and I was like, you know what? I'll do it again. Boom, and I went. And about a mile down the road, I did. I got pulled over.
Pulled over and, for turning left through a red arrow.
Red arrow, yeah. Yep, left red arrow. And when I got pulled over a second time, you know, the cop came up, asked for my license and all that stuff. And he went back to his car. And, you know, like I said, I'm a truck driver, and I got a perfect driving record, so I was kind of sweating it. And when he came back, you know, he told me, you know, you shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm going to let you go. You know, you got a clean record.
Warning.
Blah, blah, blah.
Good.
Yeah, he gave me a warning, but a verbal warning. And I'm kind of a talker, so I started talking to him, and
I told him,
well, you know, I was on the radio this morning, or listening to the radio this morning, and Adam Carolla said that this was the best way, and, you know, he's telling me about UPS.
Thanks.
You know, they don't even turn left anymore.
Right.
And he said, yeah, you're not the first guy I pulled over today.
Oh, no.
Big day for left-hand turns.
Still, it does me proud. Thank you, Mark. Look, you got to look in your rearview mirror before you turn left. You got to see if the man, the cop, the fuzz, the heat is back there. And at night, sometimes it can be a little tough, but I still say overall, it's a way to reclaim our streets. Now, here's what I would do if and I ever got pulled over. And again, done it 1,000 times, maybe more, and have never been pulled over. I would say, and it's a decent argument, not a great argument. It wouldn't work on the judge, but it might work on the cop. I'm not really familiar with this area. I mean, you say he's going to look at your license and know you live somewhere in that neighborhood, but you don't go this route. And the last 8 signals I went to, when the light was green and no cars were coming, I just turned left, and I just did it instinctively here. I didn't know there was an arrow at this particular, I didn't notice at this particular signal. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That might hold up with the cop.
Sorry, officer, I'm not exactly from around here.
That's right. Your address says you live across the street, ma'am. I know, but I usually come in via helicopter.
I'm choppered in.
I rappel through my chimney. All right, let's see. Claims to have a jellyfish. Let's talk to Willis. Willis called just because. Willis?
Yeah.
What's happening, my brother?
I'm just on my way to work, and you're talking about not having any callers, so I felt bad for y'all, and I'm calling in.
Thank you, Willis. Now we have too many.
Hey, I had traffic school yesterday.
You did?
Yes, sir.
I used to teach traffic school.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Comedy traffic school.
Let us amuse you. LETTUCE.
That's a play on words.
I went to Low Budget over in Lakewood.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. A lot of people, when I wasn't funny for the first 6 hours, would be like, hey, man, I could have went to Low Budget in Lakewood and saved $8, you hack.
Hey, I had a question. How do you become licensed to do that?
Oh, good Lord.
That was back in his salad days.
What the hell does salad have to do with driving? Okay, let me tell you what happened with me. I was a person that worked with my hands, a blue-collar guy, and I mean real blue-collar. And I couldn't read very well, and I was a horrible student, and I was bad at everything. And you get an insecurity. You really do. You know, all of you who are bad at sports, you were the fat kid in junior high. You were the guy picked last, what have you. You get a little condition, a little insecurity. All those years of those formative years of sort of being picked last and having everyone laugh when you swung and missed and hit the tee in the middle and the ball just fell to the ground and then some condescending coach yelled run. So you're trying to leg out a ball where you never even hit the ball. All those, you know how you feel when 10 years later they're having a company picnic and someone goes, great news, Stewie, we're playing softball. And you go, ugh. You get that little butterflies in your stomach. Oh, I'm going to be humiliated again. And someone says, oh, don't worry about it. It's just going to be a good time, guys and girls playing. But it doesn't matter. You wear that. It's a hair sweater you wear. So uncomfortable from the past. Well, guys that are horrible at reading and horrible at school and can't, you know, the kind of people that can't concentrate very well and are constantly scared they're going to get called to the board and have someone say, conjugate this verb or something, and you're just going to freeze up and wet your pants. Guys like that, and I was one of them, are constantly freaked out that someone's going to hand them something and tell them to read it. You don't even want to play games. You don't even want to play, like, charades and stuff because you'll get handed a piece of paper and you might not be able to read it right and you'll embarrass yourself in front of a group. When I swung a hammer my whole life. I dug ditches my whole life. I did nothing. It was all physical. At some point, I decided I needed to try to make money doing something other than something physical, but I couldn't read or write very well, and I was really insecure about it. I decided that teaching comedy traffic school would be a way to stand in front of an audience, albeit an audience that was locked into a YMCA in a meeting room in Arcadia for 9 hours.
Captive audience,
literally chained to the desk. I thought this would be a good way to work out some of my insecurities, not only with standing in front of an audience, but with the paperwork, with the writing, with all the stuff. And in order to be certified to teach traffic school in the state of California, you have to take a, like, 300-question test at the DMV. I mean, it's literally, well, the car, you know, the test you have to take to get your driver's license, yeah. It's five of those. And you have to do it in 2 hours.
It's not that easy. There's a lot of how many yards is a yellow zone.
Right. And then there's a lot of stuff like, you know, you should start signaling. It's all the stuff that's on the driver's test, just times five, pretty much. And I had to study and study and study and go to three goddamn traffic school. I had to sit through three straight traffic schools, 24 hours of traffic school. Picture that. Saturday, 8 hours of traffic school. Sunday, 8 hours of traffic school. Not because I got a violation, just because I want to get certified to teach. Tuesday and Thursday, 4 and 4 hours. So 24 hours of traffic school in, you know, 72 hours or whatever the hell it was. By the way, I feel like I should be able to bank those. Don't you?
Yeah.
I feel like I should have a certificate that says 24 hours, and I should be able to drive through a preschool drunk and then flash this laminated thing that says I've successfully banked 24 hours of traffic school. But that's what I had to do to get certified to teach traffic school.
And ultimately, do you think that helped you?
Yeah, ultimately, yeah. If you can get up and stand in front of a group and try to do improv for 8.5 hours on a Saturday and manage to move things along and be pretty funny, yeah, I was a horrible teacher. They had the whole curriculum worked out, like the class. Here's why I want all you people to lighten up, because I used to do what you do. What I'm saying is this. I presided over a group. And we had a bunch of rules. And the rules were the class starts at 8:15. Anyone who shows up later than 8:30 has to stay over and make up that 15 minutes during lunch. And anyone who shows up after 8:45 can't be admitted because they need 426 minutes of instruction time, blah, blah, blah. People would wander in at 10:30 and I'd be, sit down. What do I care? Sit down. Do you know what I mean? If I didn't see anyone who looked like they worked for the DMV monitoring me, I don't care how late you showed up. Sit down. You were supposed to talk to everyone in the class, find out what they're in there for, and yeah. That was supposed to be the first 20 minutes.
Right.
It was the first 4 hours of my class.
Did you go on some rants? Hey, violators.
Imagine me talking to 35 people, each and every person, and them telling me what they did behind the wheel of automobile to earn themselves a spot in my class.
They should have got double credit.
What do you think? How do you think it went? Right up front. Tammy, what are you in for?
I ran a stop.
All right, check. Fair enough. Who's second guy in there? Stop. Fred, what are you in for?
Speeding.
Okay, good enough. Bob, what are you in for?
Parked in a yellow zone.
Parked in yellow. What are you going to do? Awesome. Who's next? Brad? No, that's not how I would be talking about Tammy for 45 minutes. I'd never get to the next person. Yes, I was a horrible but entertaining teacher. It was good times. Where was I? How did I even get going on that?
Well,
why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Yeah. You want to do
Germany
that, Tammy?
Germany or Florida coming up.
Oh, yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks for calling in.
I know, I'm sad we didn't get to everybody, but I
put the call out and you guys rose to the occasion. That's the important part.
If you really feel bad for these people, they can play Germany or Florida, three of them.
Oh, really? All right.
We need three callers.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll take the three people that have been on hold the longest, and we'll play Germany or Florida with your ass next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time to play Germany or Florida. A 60-year-old male stunned lawyers during his appeal hearing on a flashing conviction by stripping in court. The court withdrew for deliberations, and during the adjournment, the man removed his clothes again, said a spokesman for the court. It appears he sees it as art and views himself as a living work of art. The man was in court to appeal against his conviction for flashing during a girls' soccer game and striking a range of bodybuilder poses. Germany or Florida?
All right, before we answer that, Country Fred?
Florida.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a minute. Oh, I got to get these lines worked out. What happened to the guy that was on hold for 30 minutes?
That's him. As soon as you press it, it resets the timer. It's
oh, really?
Yeah.
The hell? Hey, man, I've only been here for 2 years. Quit yelling at me. Country Fred?
Yeah.
Hang on. Teresa Strasser's going to play for you.
Okay.
Would you like to win yourself an Xbox 360?
Let's see. Yeah.
All right.
Now, try to contain your enthusiasm.
Do you have one of those boxes that has the pictures of people in it that aren't really in the room?
Yeah.
All right. So you can plug it into that, right?
Yes.
All right. Hold on a second, Country Fred. All right. Country Fred's got himself a TV set. Let's see. Who's been on hold second longest? Is that Michael?
It's like Michael.
Line four, Michael.
Hello, my peeps.
Michael, I will be playing for you, my peep.
Oh, all righty.
Yes, I can see you're excited by my track record of losing. Xbox 360 is what we'll be playing for, Michael.
All right.
Now, hang on. Now, am I allowed to put one other person on hold, Bald Brian?
Talk to whoever you want, and I'll put them all on.
All right. Hey, Shane.
Yes, sir.
You want to win yourself an Xbox 360?
Why not?
Bald Brian.
Yeah.
Smartest and lowest paid guy in the room is going to play for you, all right?
Wonderful.
All right. I just put him on hold.
Do you want him all on hold right now?
Yeah, leave him on hold. All right, let's do our Germany or Florida now. Dawson, we heard the first one. Guy stripping in court, looks at his art, says he did it at a girls' soccer game, which in years past would have been Germany, but now, hell, could be anywhere. Team,
yeah.
What do you think?
And he sees his body as art, which seems kind of European.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still feeling Florida.
The performance art aspect screams Germany to me, but being in a courtroom and the stripping of the clothes sort of smacks of meth abuse, and I'm thinking Florida.
Yep.
All right, so you both are going Florida.
I'm going Florida.
I'm going Germany on this one. We have one Germany, two Floridas. Dawson, where did it take place?
In Duisburg, Germany.
Yes. Yep, that's my hometown, douchebag Germany. Hey, Dawson.
Yeah, dude.
let's do the favorite our favorite joke from off the air yesterday. All right.
All right.
Now let's see. Okay. Hey, Teresa.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Dawson's family originally is from Dusseldorf?
Later, husband.
You got to be stoned, but it's funny. All right. So the Ace Man up 1-0. What's the next one?
A 38-year-old woman was arrested after she got in an argument with her son's girlfriend and a fight broke out. During the fight, she stabbed her 16-year-old son's left arm with a pair of scissors, causing a 2-inch cut. Germany or Florida?
Well, I'll go first here. This feels Floridian to me. This feels like good old white-on-white trash crime.
It does. I'm going Florida.
On Florida, Bald Brian?
Yeah, I hate to agree with all of you, but I don't think it's white-on-white crime. I think it's Florida, but...
You're going a different color.
Yeah,
you're right. The scissors. Yeah. Although, yeah, okay. I know what you're saying. And look, there are many... You know the brothers go, well, that guy's an N-word, and that guy's black, but he's not an N-word.
They do that sort of thing.
I would like to think we're living in a day and age in a country where black people can be white trash. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm that progressive. I'm hopeful for the future.
You've got a dream.
Yeah, I've got a dream. All right, so we have three Floridas here across the board.
In Tampa, Florida.
Yes. I know my Floridians. All right. So I am 2-0. Who the hell was I playing for? Shane? Is that me? Was that my guy? Or is that Bald Brian playing for Shane?
I got Shane Alaska. You got Country Fred.
No, I've got Michael. Country Fred. He's got Michael.
No, I got Michael. Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Hey, Brosif. We're 2-0.
We're on the same page, Adam.
You seem disappointed when you got saddled with me not 5 minutes ago, but now you're excited, right?
Well, I've been listening to Germany and Florida way back in the Loveline days, and, you know, you've left me a little disappointed in the past.
All right, well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
All right, let's go.
Playing for that Xbox 360. Now, is this our last question?
This is it.
Okay. All right.
A thief caught shoplifting cheese from a supermarket tried to make his getaway in a cement mixer, but he was quickly nabbed by police. After being caught by store personnel, the 55-year-old broke free and jumped into his cement mixer and drove off. The shop alerted police, who arrested the man when he stopped his getaway vehicle at a red light. Germany or Florida?
Well, this is tough. Now, T, you're 1-2.
I'm going to go against whatever you say because I've got to give Country Fred a chance.
Smart. Brian, 1-2.
All right. Florida. It smacks of drug abuse. There's an old man probably off his meds, possibly on not his meds.
Mm-hmm. It smacks of... It does, but on the other hand, the cheese part.
Right.
I find very European.
With the soccer.
Yeah, that's the cement true. Mixer.
I don't think they have cheese in Florida.
All right, I'm going Florida on this one, too. Bald Brian and I go Florida. Okay. T, you're going Germany to see if you can get yourself
My
back into
hope.
This one.
It happened in Berlin, Germany.
Damn it.
It's you and me.
Bald Brian, you're out. Now it's a tiebreaker between Country Joe and...
Country Fred
and
I think you've got Michael.
And I've got Michael. All
Sorry,
right.
Shane.
Let's put him on the line. Let's see. Line 4. Michael?
Yep.
Sorry I dropped that one, brother.
Hey, my last game unit was Atari. Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it.
Oh, no.
All right, and then we got Country Fred, who's going to put this thing up on eBay before it even gets to his house. Country Fred?
Yes.
You big video game player?
Huge.
Oh, what's your favorite game?
NFL.
Oh, really?
NFL. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
EA Sports, Vince Young.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're ready to play the tiebreaker?
Yeah.
Let's do it, Dawson.
For the game, a 58-year-old teacher and her student began fighting when the student tried to take a CD player from the teacher's desk without permission. The teacher, who was in a wheelchair, was bitten on the arm and responded by biting the student on the back. Germany or Florida?
Wow.
Remember I was saying how black people could act as if they were white trash? That's what it's kind of feeling like to me, although the biting back by the teacher's kind of a wrinkle.
I'm feeling Florida.
I'm feeling Florida too, baby.
All right, I'll take Germany.
Yeah.
You're the boss.
Ironic that you has to take Germany.
They'd like to take me.
Oh, it's a coin toss, be honest. And also, there is an element of, if that happened here, wouldn't we have heard of it?
Doesn't that
sound like something O'Reilly would be yelling about? All right, I'll take Florida, you take Germany. Here we go.
Teresa. Lederhosen. It happened in Perry, Florida.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, Country Fred.
Yes.
Germany's way too technologically advanced to be stealing CD players.
Well, that's a very decent point. All right, so Michael, yes. There you go, brother.
Thank
you,
Adam, Peter Zane.
Appreciate it, thank you.
Good times, and Country Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got Madden for another year. All right.
Sorry.
All right.
Good
Thanks
times. Good times, fellas. Very quickly before we tease the news and go to break. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, what's up, Corolla?
You saw me on Tom Green last night?
Yes, I did. That Omarosa girl was all over you, bro.
Yeah.
Well, you were on with Omarosa?
I was.
Is she as evil as you'd think?
She's playing it up, really. First off, she's kind of hot.
She had a boob job.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Well, it worked.
Wrong!
I got pushing that headlock, you're all up against them.
Yeah. She's kind of good looking, and I think she kind of knows what she's doing.
She's playing the character of the evil Omarosa.
She's putting fannies in seats. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She kind of told me. I know. And we all get bought. You know what I was saying on the show? I was saying this. When guys have a boxing match and they get into a fight in the press conference, they sell another $20 million worth of pay-per-view.
Right.
Oh, there is bad blood between these two guys. You know what I mean? I don't know if they really hate each other. Either way, it's working out. Do you know what I'm saying? Omarosa knows there's money in being Omarosa. That's why she was asked back. That's why she's the only non-celebrity, if you will, who's going to play celebrity Donald Trump, whatever. So I think there's a part of her that knows what she's doing, and maybe we're buying into it, and maybe we're the idiots.
Well, listen, in wrestling, there has to be villains.
That's right. All right.
Hey, she's a shrewd businesswoman. You did a great job, Corolla. I've been listening to you since you came on the air. Bring Damashek back. Glad you got rid of Rachel. Glad you got rid of Bonaduce.
All right. One vote for Damashek and two against Rachel and Bonaduce.
Yeah, can I ask the questions that no one has asked, but Damashek really did. Remember when he asked Hasselbeck when he's going to stop whining about the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I know, but he was drunk and a huge Steelers fan. But thanks, Patrick.
that was a magic moment.
Damashek's got his own radio show, by the way, so I don't think he'll be coming back to this one anytime soon. All right, now, T.
Yes.
You want to tease the news?
I sure do. Dr. Drew says he knows what's wrong with Britney Spears. I'll tell you what that is. And also, I want you to take a listen to this once major movie star who's now released an album on MySpace.
Mm-hmm. I was lying in a burnout basement with the full moon in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Hard times.
Oh, really? Wow.
On your ears.
All right. We'll do that. We'll do the news next.
Show. We'll have a little chat with Scott Baio, take your home improvement calls with Eric Stromer, and talk to prisoner David. Plus the news with Teresa Strasser.
You no longer work here. You're fired.
And your calls at 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, girl. Let's party.
Let's.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Yesterday, New Hampshire held the first primary in the 08 presidential election, where the 41st largest state in the U.S., population-wise, gets an absurd amount of power in deciding who's got the momentum to run for president. Senator John McCain easily won the Republican primary with 37% of the vote. And Senator Hillary Clinton surprised everybody by beating out Barack Obama in a very, very tight race. Here is Hillary Clinton claiming victory.
I come tonight with a very, very full heart. And I want especially to thank New Hampshire. Over the last week, I listened to you. And in the process, I found my own voice.
Well, some people think she became less robotic when she broke down earlier a few days ago in New Hampshire talking to the press. You may remember that.
Yeah, no. No, she stopped sounding like Charlie Brown's teacher and started sounding like Kit, the car from Knight Rider.
It's not easy. It's not easy. And I couldn't do it if I just didn't, you know, passionately believe it was the right thing to do. You know, I have so many opportunities from this country. I just don't want to see us fall backwards. You know, so...
When some people think she connected.
I don't want to correct her, but wouldn't you fall down? You don't really shouldn't fall backwards, should you? Step backwards.
Yeah,
I know what she's saying. Yeah, I've been hearing CNN went to the black barber shop because that's where you get all your information. You go to the black barber shop. Some of the dumbest yet simultaneously most knowledgeable people on the planet work at barber shops. They're the modern day shaman. You know what I mean? They really are. No formal education. The guys who work at barbershops, the black guys that work at barbershops, they really have a third grade education but thousands of years of experience underneath their belt. I don't know how it works. You know what I mean?
A lot of wisdom in there.
Yeah, they always go to the guy and the guy talks while he cuts hair. They never can get a clean interview with the guy. You never see the barber looking at the guy going, well, I think it's always, well, he's working on the guy's sideburn. If I'm the guy who's getting my hair cut, I'm like, hello, this guy's got a razor to the back of my neck. How about we free him up to focus on shaving the stubble there? I don't like the guy doing the hard-hitting interview with CNN while he's shaving the back of my neck, but that's what they're doing. Always shaving a guy's head, always working on the guy's head, and they're talking. And they sound almost retarded, but yet tons of wisdom.
Well, Barack Obama, the conventional wisdom was that he was going to have at least a double-digit lead on anyone else in the pack, but he lost by just 3 percentage points. Here is his very upbeat concession speech.
We will remember that there is something happening in America, that we are not as divided as our politics suggest, that we are one people, we are one nation, and together we will begin the next great chapter in the American story with three words that will ring from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. Yes, we can. Thank you, New Hampshire.
Well, that's his thing.
Yes, we can.
Hmm.
At least for today.
Yeah, so the guy at the barbershop, the black barbershop.
It's where it all goes down.
I gotta get me one of those. He was saying
got the right hair for it.
He good was, name for TSV.
The black barber shop.
Pole is uncomfortable.
He was saying that, and I've been hearing this all along and biting my tongue a little bit, but I do find it a little bit racist and a little bit condescending when people do that thing where they go, well, the blacks, yeah, there's some of them are going to vote for Barack, but they like Hillary Clinton. Well, they don't like Hillary Clinton, but they remember her husband. Doesn't that sound like you're dealing with a group of pack animals? Do you know what I'm saying? Isn't it condescending and kind of weird to say, yeah, no, they don't like her, the woman who's going to be president, but they do like her spouse, who she never spends any time with, so they're going to vote for her anyway. What would you say about those people? I mean, it's not a great thing to say about a group. I don't know if it's true or not, but it doesn't make them sound all that intelligent. I think it's kind of a racist thing to say. I'm sort of surprised, and I'd be surprised if that's how it ended.
I'd be surprised if they did vote for Hillary.
Well, I know they like the Clinton name. I think it's George Clinton. Between George Clinton and Bill Clinton, by the way, the brothers are completely satisfied. There you go. That's right. We don't have a parliament out here, but George Clinton has one in a van filled with smoke.
Between that, you just want to vote.
This should be Hillary Clinton's song.
Why not?
All right. All I'm saying is, brothers, we do realize we're not voting in the world's blackest white man. We're voting in the world's whitest white woman.
Even amongst white women, she would be the whitest.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Where were we?
We were talking about Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Another white woman this one in a little bit of trouble. Your friend and former partner, Dr. Drew Pinsky, mm-hmm. has been speaking out about this. His show, Celebrity Rehab, premieres on VH1, I believe, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very much looking forward to that. In the meantime, he's got a lot to say about Britney. He went on Access Hollywood yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
It looks as though we're watching an Anna Nicole Smith-type case evolve in real time. Even with intensive treatment in a hospital environment, followed by, say, a year of residential treatment, which is the minimum of what she needs, her chances are sort of 50-50. Without treatment, her survival is really in question.
How does he think this is all going to end?
Her rock bottom is probably going to be on a ventilator in an ICU after an overdose.
Wow. There you go. Thanks, Nurse
not to,
Ratched.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
Dr. Drew was always such an a-hole with that stuff.
Medication time.
Was that Nurse Ratched?
I think so.
Jesus H. Christ. I got to tell you, his bedside manner leaves much to be desired.
He's not very, say, gentle in breaking news.
My wife's best friend, who was in her early 30s at the time, got, I think it was ovarian cancer. And they caught it in a semi-early stage and this and that and the other. And my wife said to Dr. Drew, well, what do you think? What's the prognosis? And he said, dead in a year. And she just turned into a heap. And I, like, punched her in the stomach. And I was like, I got to go home and sleep next to that heap of tears for the next year, you understand? Couldn't you have blown a little sunshine up her tukai? And he's like, well, that's what's going to happen.
He's gay.
When you're a scientist, you're probably... all doctors have horrible bedside manner. But was she dead within a year? Was it accurate?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't make it any easier to hear in that format.
I hated...
That's true.
I hated it because my wife would say... Here's what's going on with Jennifer. Ask Drew tonight what's going on and what he thinks. And I just go ask Drew and he'd be like, oh, well, she's dying. There's nothing. And I just like, ugh. And then I'd get home and the next morning, I'd be like, whoa, what'd he say about Jennifer? I'd be like, ugh. It was heartbreaking.
It really is. And I mean, this is not a revolutionary thing to say, but sometimes people just need a little bit of hope. If there's one small piece of good news.
Well, look, we're all going to die anyway. We do know that much, right?
Right.
How about we die delusional?
I don't mind that at all.
I want to be
screw you, Drew.
I want to be screaming, I'm going to live forever when I'm hit by commuter train. That's how I want to go.
Well, you know, last year when my brother was in the hospital for 2 months and I talked to my parents, mm-hmm. if they just gave me one little thing like, well, his nausea is a little better today. That right. would make my day. All I needed was one small piece of hope.
Right.
And it would cheer me up.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Drew has no such hope about Britney.
He does not.
Yes, sir, Ms. Grohl.
Now, he has an interesting opinion, which I have not heard before. A lot of people theorizing that she suffers from bipolar disorder or manic depression. Mm-hmm. But he thinks she has multiple diagnoses, including postpartum depression, which I had not heard before.
Interesting.
He says there isn't just one diagnosis, and she's going to need at least 1 year of inpatient, in-depth treatment. But he says, unlike him, I guess, that this is a very treatable young lady.
Sure. It's after business for him.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay. How about some music?
Yeah.
This will cheer us all up. You remember Val Kilmer.
Great actor.
Well, he hasn't been in too many movies over the past 10 years because he's been writing and recording his own music.
Good.
This is from his own album, Val Kilmer, Sessions with Mick.
Val Quaylord?
Mick is Mick Rossi, a friend of Val's. Sadly, he has not yet found a label to distribute the album. And that's where MySpace comes in.
I got a label for him.
What does it say?
Starts with an S and an H. Like to slap that on his guitar. And by the way, you know how hard you have to work to make Neil Young sound good?
It's tough.
I know there's a lot of Neil Young fans out there. I like Cinnamon Girl and a couple songs of his, but he's by far the worst sounding popular singer on the planet. I mean, there's not many guys that have a worse voice than Neil Young, except for I think we found him. You know what I mean? Like, when karaoke night rolls around, you don't want to do Whitney Houston songs. Thank you. Do dig this song. You don't want to do Whitney Houston songs because you're not going to sound half as good as Whitney Houston, no matter how good you are.
Yeah, you shouldn't even do that on American Idol, they tell you.
Right, or Aretha Franklin or whoever. But Neil Young, just about every drunken Yahoo who hits the stage over at Dimples is going to sound twice as good as Neil Young. Not Val Kilmer. Found the only guy who sounds worse than Neil Young.
If you'd like to purchase Val's cover of the Neil Young song After the Gold Rush that you just heard, you can do so on his MySpace page. 99 cents.
This is should be called After the Cluster F. Should retitle it. I want to hear this.
When the sun burst through the sky, there was a band playing.
See, this is the problem with being a celebrity. Nobody around you telling you you suck.
So you think Val asked his buddy Mick? I mean, be honest with me.
Mick was excited to be doing a project with Val and does not want to take the wind out of Val's sails by saying, Val, you can't sing. So you go along with it. You get too many yes people. You lock yourself up in your basement. You have a lot of FU money. And next thing you know, you have this. What you need is some voice of reason going, hey, buddy, maybe they'll make the Doors too or something. Let's get you back in front of the camera where you belong.
What happens in the Doors too?
I would call it the Doors S'mores.
It's to hell and back.
It's a prequel. It's Jim Morrison from birth to age 19. When he met.
It's a
story of Jim Morrison from the time he was born to the day before he met Ray Manzarek on the beach.
I think that would be an interesting exploration of his relationship
Oliver,
with his parents.
How does that help Val Kilmer?
Oliver, yeah. Are you listening? You're going to play 9-year-old Jim Morrison. Thank you. I don't care if you're a 46-year-old man. You got range.
Actor.
You're an actor, so start acting.
Act prepubescent,
would you?
I think he did sing in the Doors movie.
He should have got an Academy Award for that quite easily.
Do you think that would have prevented this travesty and ear raping?
When I'm in charge, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take an Academy Award away from somebody who didn't deserve it, and I'll give it to Val Kilmer.
I see. Yeah. I don't.
What's her name for my cousin Vinny?
Marissa Tomei.
Sorry, baby. Hand it over.
I think she'd be happy to hand it over. She knows she doesn't deserve it.
All
she's
right.
Probably felt bad ever since.
Give it to me. I'm giving it to Val. We'll put a little duct tape over your name. I'll scratch in Val with a Sharpie. He's so high he won't know. And all will be right with the world.
Speaking of awards, last night the People's Choice Awards gave us a vision of what the Oscars could look like if the writer's strike continues.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a chilling vision. In a pre-taped show on CBS, Queen Latifah hosted. She simply opened a book and read the name of each winner, which was followed by a pre-recorded clip of People's Choice camera crews presenting the winners with their awards, wherever they happen to be. Now, I was confused because some of the winners, I thought they were in the volcano.
Mm-mm.
I thought that Terry, the pterodactyl, mm-hmm. Had removed them. Yet somehow, and you got a real problem on your hands.
Huh?
A real problem.
What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what. You just threw Katherine Heigl into the volcano, and yet here she is accepting her award for favorite female TV person.
This is unbelievable. Thank you so much. It's such an honor. And thank you to every single one of you who watch the show and enjoy it and appreciate the work. It means so much to me. I've spent a lot of years in this town with nobody caring at all about what I do.
Months.
So it means so much when you do. So thank you. And I do it for you. So I'm so grateful that you appreciate it. And I'm so grateful for this honor. So thank you, everybody. And thank you to the writers of the show. We are so behind you. And we believe in this cause. And we are supporting you. So thank you.
Why don't you stop talking for a
while? Yeah, stop thanking people. I'd like to get behind her, by the way, for just 10 minutes. Now, a couple things.
Yeah.
I cannot stand it when 26-year-old actresses are smoking hot and blonde who have been successful for 4 years explain how many years they struggled for. Because I'll do the math. You were 18 when you graduated high school. You're 26 now, and the show you've been on that's been highly successful has been on for 3 seasons. How many years of struggle could you shoehorn in between banging producers? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. She talks a lot about this. I think she started as a teenager. Or
I had to be a hostess for almost 9 months before my ship came in.
Must have been hard.
Hold on. Josh has something to say. Josh?
Yeah.
You're impressed with Bald Brian?
Yeah, I'm pretty amazed. Well, first of all, Adam, I love your show. Teresa, love you. Glad you got rid of the douche. But I'm absolutely amazed that, I mean, how does he get the sound effects to come on so quickly?
You're gay for saying that.
Look, I want to say this quickly about Bald Brian. I've said it before. I've always talked about how fast he is and how smart he is and how undercompensated
he is.
I need to say this very clearly to everyone, because once in a while I hear people talking about how could he possibly be on top of these things as fast, because we go on to a topic and all of a sudden Charlie Brown's Teachers comes up and we hear Charlie Brown's Teacher. I promise you this, people, there's absolutely no discussion of discussion on this show.
I realize that. Does he have a keyboard or something in front of him? I mean, how does he come up with it instantly? Is he getting it off the web, or has he got a keyboard or something?
He has. Bald Brian.
This is Teresa's news.
Yes, but go ahead.
The Loveline stuff, I just happen to know a website where I can play Loveline stuff quickly, so old Dr. Drew stuff. But all these sounds you hear, I just happen to...
You all have earned your pay right now.
Have them throughout a minute. Type them in.
So he types them in, but you memorize all the numbers?
Yeah, have them throughout a drop. I'll see how quickly I can...
Ooh, a familiar one. Do you have a favorite drop? Yeah.
What's that?
Do you have one favorite you like, and we'll see if... and tell us what number it is, Bald Brian.
I like the Leica stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The laugh.
Yeah.
What number is that, Brian?
It just starts with L-E-Y. Oh, Leicas.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I type in the code.
Unbelievable.
He really helps your show, I think, a tremendous amount. I mean, I laugh at what you guys say, but when he fills in that little blank...
Nice to talk to you.
I took a great pleasure in dropping stuff on the callers.
I got to say, Josh, I am thoroughly impressed and grow more so every day.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to cut him loose.
All right, Josh.
Just a second ago, when you did the Charlie Brown voice with the robot to symbolize Hillary Clinton, that was a good mashup.
Right. I just brought up George Clinton, and I brought up Charlie Brown's Teacher, and we get a Clinton song, and we get Charlie Brown's Teacher. All right, T. I'm sorry. No, wait a minute. Let me look at Angie for a second. Is Scott Baio here? Oh, he is here. Okay, good. So keep going with the news, then.
Well, Carrie Annie Naba.
Ugh. And by the way, I checked with Terry.
Yeah.
About Katherine Heigl?
Yeah.
She did the interview from the volcano.
There was a very dark background.
Did you hear the people in the background?
Yeah.
Those are other folks I tossed in.
I wonder.
And that's what he said. I believe him.
It was weird because I thought I could hear Nancy Grace in the background.
So she got put in March.
Well, Carrie Annie Naba has been
in the
volcano.
Too. Yeah.
And yet... She and Bruno accepted their award for favorite competition reality show, Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you guys, this really means the world to us. Tom, Samantha, Len, all the crew, this comes from you guys. This is from the heart of America. You've embraced us, and we love you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I just want to say that this also will be given to the dancers who are so wonderful, and all the celebrities, especially the celebrities that work with us.
Thank you.
She slid back into the lava.
Yes. I don't know. When did we be? First off, I'm driving around and I'm passing signs like these movies, you know, Stomp the Yard 5 and Bring It On 9. When did we settle our disputes with dance? Do you know what I mean? What happened to knives, bottles, and zip guns?
Do you want to fight this out the old-fashioned way?
Do not.
Dance off?
I will bust out the robot on your ass.
Look out.
You want me to get the hustle? You want me to get my hustle on?
I'm not scared of you.
I will pop and lock, and you will beg for mercy, bitch.
I am not scared of you. I did ballet for 14 years.
Well, you throw up while I'm moonwalking. Yes, what happened to people punching each other? This is America. We don't settle things through dance. And by the way, How does this? What an apocalyptic future!
You and me crunking.
Imagine now, it's like 100 years from now, and there's some Middle Eastern guy that comes in and says, "I have a dirty bomb, and I'm going to blow it up in Manhattan." And our president's like, "All right, let's dance," and he literally starts dancing in front of the guy.
That would be great.
My kid's going to be settling every schoolyard dispute where some bully steals his lunch money by doing the robot. This is horrible.
No collateral damage.
Nobody likes dancing. When did we become...
Are you kidding? Dancing with the Stars is the number one show every week it's on.
But wait, you know, if you would have pulled me aside 5 years ago and said, Ace Man... I want you to buy some stock in TV. There's going to be one show. It's going to be an amateur singing competition. That's going to go through the roof. That's called American Idol. That's going through the roof. And then there's going to be another show where you take washed up has-been stars and have them fumble through dance routines. I'd be like, are you high? Nobody's going to watch that. Who the hell wants to watch Maria Osmond dance or some guy you never heard from with a cleft palate try to break his way through a song? No way. Two number one shows.
What if I told you they're not going to be doing hip hop dance or clowning or crumping or whatever? They'll be doing ballroom dance. Mm. They'll be doing the Paso Doble.
No way. Would not fly in this country. No way.
It will smash all of its competition. Not just one night a week, two nights a week.
All right.
I'll leave you with this. This will make you happy. Of course, a lot of the shows are having a difficult time getting guests because of the strike.
Mm.
Ellen DeGeneres has found a solution. Child prodigies. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we heard from a...
9-year-old gynecologist.
Yep.
That would be uncomfortable.
His pap smear is smooth. You barely feel it coming out.
Hands the size of a squirrel.
That's not a bad idea.
Write that down.
No, this is a 6-year-old piano prodigy. I'm going to play you a piece she wrote in 5 minutes. She wrote this in 5 minutes. She's 6 years old. It's called The Love in Us, and it's by Emily Bear.
Could do when I was six. I could put a glass on my mouth and then suck it real hard and then remove my hands and it would stay. Wow. That was pretty much it. That's from 6 to 14.
Now, if you failed and it broke,
boy.
Would your mom glue it back together?
They would put it aside and promise to, but never actually do it because they're Corollas. Yeah, I realize I have, I was thinking about this. No talent for language, no talent for instruments. Why? I want to go out and throw something and do something and build something. And if you want to do that stuff, you can't sit at a piano. It's impossible. It's like the different part of your brain.
Yeah, but throwing things led you to a very successful career in football, as you don't like to talk about, but sometimes.
Yeah. Up until high school, for the love of Christ. And I never threw anything for 10 years. All I did was tackle people that threw things.
That was Pop Warner.
Well, Scott Baio awaits. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
I did have a football realization when I saw the end of We Are Marshall last night on TV.
Should I watch that?
Yeah, it's good. I just saw the last 10 minutes of the movie. I had a couple glasses of wine in me. But I got recruited very heavily to play for Marshall when they were horrible in 1982. But then it went on to say they had their first winning season in 20 years in 1984. And I thought, oh, I would have been there.
Yeah. That would have been the prime time in your college football career.
There would have been. All right. Well, let's not live in the past. Wait a minute. We have to. Scott Baio's coming in here. I love Scott Baio. Scott Baio is 46 and pregnant is the name of the new show. I saw every episode of the Scott Baio is 44 and
45
and single. Saw every single episode of it last season, so I'll be excited to get caught up with him. Scott Baio, next.
to the Adam Carolla Show. From a time when public service announcements made sense.
Snuff and chewing tobacco are a cancer risk to your mouth. Like smoking is a risk to your lungs. Using this can result in cancer of the mouth or throat, as well as destroying your teeth and gums.
Scott Baio is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Scott Baio.
Thank you, guys.
Let's see, is Scott's mic heated up?
I think it is.
I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, hey, that was me. Doing your public service announcement.
What year was that from? Do you remember?
1946, I think.
Do you remember doing that?
I actually do. I think it was like in the 70s. I'm sure it was in the 70s. Why are you dancing?
Music.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Did you smoke back then?
No. Don't smoke now.
But he didn't dip either. The beauty about being...
I have done some dip and some chewing tobacco.
Oh, really?
Hey, sure.
Did you spit the dip out to do that PSA?
No, but I wasn't a user. I was a sort of a social. We used to have spitting contests after I'd do a show on the back lot of Universal. It was really kind of fun until you swallow it.
You and Donnie Most?
No, it was doing Charles in Charge. Me and Willie, and we go in the back and have spitting contests and get the young kids. Come on, try some tobacco. It's really good.
I know this is weird. You just brought up Willie. Are you aware that he was robbed at gunpoint?
Recently?
I read this in the news.
Is that
today.
Willie Ames?
Yes.
Today?
From Charles in Charge. I just read it today. He was walking in Hollywood with his 26-year-old son when a man pulled out a gun and demanded their money.
Wow.
The mugger got away with $15.
I tell you, they picked the wrong guy. I'm surprised Willie didn't do some sort of jiu-jitsu or pull a gun out on him or something.
How about just spit some jaw at him?
Spit some jaw at him, yeah.
Well, I guess he was in town for the VH1 Celebrity Rehab premiere.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. How's Willie doing? Do you guys keep in touch?
It's funny. I saw him randomly out, and I saw him, and he's doing okay, I guess.
He's not part of the cast, I should say.
No,
but that's why
of my show.
Do you
Rehab?
Of Rehab.
No.
Okay. And who do you keep in touch with? Like, let's say from the Happy Days era. None of those guys.
No.
Now Henry Winkler, great guy.
Great guy.
And
I mean, don't get me wrong. I once in a while call or run into each other, but it's not like, hey, what are you doing Friday? Let's go to dinner. It's
right.
You know, just don't do that with those people. Don't like those people very much. Kidding.
Do you think of yourself as a reclusive at all?
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, sadly, when we were watching your show, Scott Baio is 45 and single, my wife turned to me at a certain point when you were miserable doing some sort of signing somewhere.
Yeah.
And she said, you're exactly the same. You two are both miserable when you have to go do something that involves
other
your
people.
Public or
right.
other people.
Right.
And I said, well, look, here's how you know I'm miserable if I have to do something.
Right.
If somebody said, look, Saturday... Let's say 8 a.m. Can you go cross town to get some oral and a foot rub? I'd be like, oh,
yeah,
Christ,
exactly.
Do I have to?
Exactly. You have to do something. It's a drag.
It's a drag. But you have a kind of a relationship with your celebrity that might be a little bit love-hate because you've been in the public eye for 30 years now or damn close to 30 years,
right? It's not a love-hate thing. It's... I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't like strange people.
Right.
I just don't.
Right.
Because I don't. It's what conversation am I going to have? And I'm not a weird guy. I'm not like Howard Hughes or anything. But I just don't feel like
you probably have the same conversation over and over.
It's not even that so much. And honestly, I've been this way since I'm a kid. I just don't like people. I like my friends. I like my family. And I don't like you people all that much, really.
I was feeling the same. I was wishing you would leave.
I know.
No, you know what I mean.
No, I just
it's not a reclusive, but I love to be home. Love to be home.
But it's this way. Yeah. Well, when you're at home, you're usually on top of some strange blonde, which is why
not
I
anymore.
Love to be
I'm married,
home.
Adam.
I know.
I'm married.
But your condition.
With child.
Let me say this. And Scott, you tell me if you agree or disagree, and T, shut up. Here's what I want to say. I explain this to my wife all the time. Most people are bad. Not bad as in evil.
Most people are annoying.
They're boring. They're not interesting. They're not interested in the same stuff. They're not bringing anything to the party.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? You talk to most people. They have some boring job. They have some boring insight. They tell a joke you've heard before. 9 out of 10 people aren't dynamic, interesting, vivacious, or whatever. maybe more than 9 out of 10. Uh-huh. Why should Scott Baio and Adam Carolla waste exactly. their precious days on this planet?
Screw those people.
F you guys. You're boring. And my feeling is it's not my fault for being stuck up. It's your fault for being boring.
Well, good point. Interesting.
Is that the way you feel?
No. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I do genuinely like when people come up to me and say, hey, I saw the show, or I saw the thing, and it's great, and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
What's more interesting for me, I don't really want to talk about me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go with what you're saying, I want to know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people don't want to tell me what they do.
Right.
So it goes nowhere.
Why not? Right.
I don't know why. Because please take this from, I'm a straight guy, I have no ego. I think they think, compared to what I do, what they do is boring.
Right.
When in reality, what I do is pretty boring. I mean, an actor's gig is pretty boring. Is that really nothing to do?
Well, you go in
and you say a couple lines. And I'm not making light of that, but you go in and you do your thing and you sit down for a couple hours.
Well,
that's it.
It's certainly boring in the sense that as an actor, you're supposed to play the role of interesting people, but you're playing the role of the interesting guy. It doesn't necessarily mean you're interesting.
Right.
I would agree. I've interviewed hundreds of actors, and I would say there's nothing more boring than an actor without a script.
Yes, but Scott Baio, no longer an actor. He does a reality show.
Star.
Yes.
Yeah, but even that show, which is very tough to do, tougher than anything I've done, because they don't follow me 24/7.
Right.
It is, it's all based on me, and it's all me and how I think, but it's much more... It's more structured.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a romantic comedy, like Curb Your Enthusiasm is, kind of like that kind of show,
yeah.
Which is tough to do. So, yeah. I think people just don't, they still think it's really kind of a cool gig, and I love it.
There were uncomfortable moments from the first season, like when he sat down with ex-girlfriend Erin Moran. And had to have a discussion. And by the way, she should change her last name from Moran to Moorman, because she is turning Erin Moorman. She is turning into a man.
Not like a Latter-day Saint Moorman.
She is turning into a male. I don't know if there's drugs involved. I don't know if there's surgery involved. But Scott, please, you must see her and go, I effed that in 1979?
I have no comment at all. I have no comment. I can't.
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She is nuts. Scott is bitter. And it was a great conversation they had over at Michelli's on Ventura Boulevard.
Of nuts and bitter.
That's where Scott set up camp.
Explosive.
Let's bivouac here at the intersection of nuts and bitter. She wanted you to do some reunion signing thing. Of course.
I had to do something.
You don't want to leave your house.
No, I don't want to leave Encino.
Right. That's my whole thing.
I have a 3-mile radius that I will not leave. I'm here barely.
Right. Yeah, there's
only for you.
There's a tether on Scott's right ankle, and it's taut right now. You could hang clothes on it.
It's splitting.
He doesn't get. This is his further outer reach of his circle.
And you know, you're making a joke, but that's really true.
I know, and I don't know what the gene is, but what you would like to do is
Italian gene.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
You want to leave your house, you want to make money, and then you want to go home, lock the door, and be left alone.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. It's an Italian, and I hide all my money in my mattress.
Speaking of Italian, I did find this out when, I can't remember, I should call my wife. She'll tell me exactly what Scott said. But Jimmy Kimmel's ex-wife, Gina Kimmel, Scott has heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. Jimmy Kimmel's wife, we got the Feast of San Gennaro going. Me and Jimmy did, mostly Jimmy. But his wife somehow got saddled with keeping it going and making the phone calls and ran into Scott Baio, famous Italian-American.
Oh, Jersey Boys. Was that where I ran into her?
Probably. Okay. She said she ran into Scott Baio, and it's one of these things where it's like, all right, let's get Tommy Lasorda and let's get other Italian-Americans to come down to the Feast of San Gennaro. And she said, when I asked Scott Baio whether he wanted to come out to the Feast of San Gennaro, he said, yeah, that's what I want to do, sit in the hot sun watching a bunch of Goombas eat cannolis or something to that effect.
I might have said something like that.
And, you know, it was funny. My wife came home and said, well, guess who's an a-hole and guess who's not going to the Feast of San Gennaro? I thought, he's my kind of guy. I don't want to go either.
But what she didn't realize is that took two things. To go somewhere far from my house.
Right.
And be with people that I don't know.
That's right.
That's death for me.
Probably don't like.
Probably.
Given that 90% of the populace you don't want to hang out with. I agree. And that's the whole problem with our lives. Like, people go, hey, you know what? We're going to Prima Notte. You're going to do the celebrity auction. There's going to be all kinds of people. And with that, doesn't that sound like fun? No, it doesn't. Here's what it is. I walk around, and every 10 feet, somebody stops me. And eventually, I get a piece of pizza. And as I start taking my first bite, someone says, do you mind if we take a picture? And I put my arm around the person. And then another person comes in, and I never get to bite that pizza.
Exactly.
I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. I say we're healthy, not reclusive a-holes.
Look, you have the perfect gig here. Perfect.
Yes.
You come in the morning, you can sort of go undercover, duck, you wear sweats coming in, mm-hmm. and you go home and you're done.
That's right.
You don't have to see anybody other than the people that you know here.
Mm. You know what my next move is? A black hood that I travel in, like a hostage. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go from the radio station, I'd like to be thrown in the back of a van and taken home and never even know where I live. That's the next evolution. Scott, I feel like we could bunk up.
Probably.
Except we'd hate each other.
No, we wouldn't see each other.
No, I have this theory that I could live with pretty much any guy, not talk to him for a year, and still have a great relationship with him.
Right.
To him every day. With a woman, you can't do that.
Right. You need
That's
to talk.
It's impossible.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, how's the marriage working out?
It's okay.
And the pregnancy.
My baby's born. My baby's 9 weeks old. Thank you. And the whole second season of the show, 46 and Pregnant, is me dealing with a pregnant woman mm-hmm. and the changes that it makes on her and the change and every single emotion that a guy goes through. I realize that the 9 months of a pregnancy really has nothing to do with the baby.
Right.
It's all about the guy.
Is it a boy or girl, by the way?
It's a girl.
What's a girl.
Because there's karma. Bailey.
Little Bailey, agoraphobic Bao. Yeah.
Bailey, that's cute. Bailey Bao.
Yeah. I like
Very
that.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So the 9 months is for the guy to go from complete panic and fear
mm-hmm.
to resentment and anger, bitterness, confusion, frustration, to succumbing, to acceptance, and then to... This is the greatest thing ever on the planet.
Right.
Yeah, I wish more guys... You know what I can't stand? I can't stand when people build things up in a negative way. I had twins a year and a half ago.
You did?
Yes.
Congratulations.
And all I've heard from guys, thank you, is, oh, it's going to... party's over. Party's over. Going to change your life, and not in a good way. It hasn't impacted my life in a negative way. It's been a very positive experience for me. It's 10% negative, and I don't want to go above 75% positive.
Because nobody's that good.
I don't want my kids to get soft that they're listening. But the point is
earn daddy's love.
It's been a mostly positive or almost wholly positive experience. And I wish when my wife was 6 months pregnant and I was a bundle of nerves, people would have pulled me aside and said, listen, I know you're freaked out right now, but you know what? This is going to be awesome. You're
going to
love it.
People did that to me.
They did.
Absolutely. They did it to me literally almost every day. And I would think... you're an idiot. Just shut up.
That's why I want to live with you, Scott.
No, really. I see. What do you know? You're not me.
Sometimes I do wonder if we're all being conned and parenthood is much more difficult than you think.
Well, it depends how much you care, because my folks had a sort of lukewarm response to parenting, a passing interest. You know what I mean?
You know what it really is?
Yeah,
it's what
hello?
You make it.
Yeah.
If you make the kid the boss, then you have a problem. If you're still the boss and the kid is on your schedule, then it's okay. I mean, I can still play golf. I still hang out with my friends once in a while.
How's your relationship changed?
Well,
he's got a caddy now. A six-month-year-old dragging around a sack of Titleist balls.
What's interesting is that what my relationship changed. Well, first of all, my wife said something to me just amazing when she was pregnant. She said, look, I'll do 80% of the work. You do 20. And... for the first couple of months, I'll sleep in the nursery with the baby. You can sleep in the master bedroom. And I really thought she was really trying to trick me. And I didn't answer her. Because I thought if I say okay, I'm dead.
Right.
And if I say no, then I'm screwing myself.
Right. It's like, you don't have to get me anything for our anniversary.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Sure, I
so
know.
So I went, okay. And she went, okay, good. And that's the way it's been.
And
so,
that was that.
Yeah, and it's been fantastic. So, but, and you'll attest this because I didn't think this would happen to me. I look at my wife now totally different when she's holding my child. It is just the
it makes
you feel, and I'm not this guy. It makes you feel whole. It makes you feel complete.
I feel the same way about Scott's wife. And it was tough when I had to explain that to my wife.
So you're more in love with her now.
Yeah, you fall in love with the girl again. You do. You just do. You can't not, unless you're Charlie Manson. I mean,
well,
you just can't not fall in love with the girl. Go.
Also, you realize, take this for what it's worth, why they were put on this planet.
Right.
This is why. All the nutty chicks you've had to work with were like, God, what a bitch. What's up, her? You know, and all the screwy relationships you've had and your nutball mom and all the nutty broads you've had in your life. And you think, what the hell are they even here for?
Exactly.
And then you see this and you go, aha, like some tool that's been in the garage and you've been tripping over it for 30 years. And eventually you see it in action. You're like, my God, this is a great invention. That's what it is. Women are like some tool I've been tripping over for
that's
30
a great
years.
Analogy.
And now,
that's great.
Now
I see the purpose in it.
There's a flood and they're digging a trench around the house.
Well,
like,
that's why you guys are
wonderful.
Scared of us, because we are that.
Of course
that
we're scared of you.
Yes.
You're the enemy. Of course we fear you.
Were you there when she had the baby in the room?
Which is the most, by the way.
Yeah.
We as males, in my opinion, don't have any use or should not even be in the room. We are useless.
Yes.
I was just a warm pound of flesh. I actually fell asleep during labor.
Wow.
Because, and I don't know if you could attest this, Adam, I couldn't do anything right. She knows how to breathe already.
Right.
Right? And I couldn't hold her hand the right way. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. I said, honey, I'm holding your hand. You're not doing it right.
Well,
I said, okay. So I just went on the couch and laid down and passed out.
What about all the screaming and writhing that you see in movies? Is it like that?
Well, No, she went to 7 or 8 centimeters without anything, which, by the way, this is my line on this. You guys giving birth is like me crapping out a cantaloupe made of razor blades and nails.
Wow.
Because the pain that you go through is unbelievable.
No. That's just in. Scott Baio crapped out a cantaloupe filled with nails and razors.
My wife didn't recognize me in the delivery room. That's how much pain she was in.
Did she have the epidural?
She finally got an epidural, and then she had to have a C-section because the kid was coming sunny side up, which I think is a medical term.
That's what the doctors call it.
Yeah. Scott Baio, did you have to or get bullied into cutting the umbilical cord
I
did?
No, for a C-section, they take pretty much every organ in her body out.
Yes.
And lay it on her belly. Which is like
good
a
times.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. They cut it because they want to get the kid as far away from the organs as they can, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they gave me some sort of ceremonial cutting off to the side, which was fine because
that's what I got.
Yeah, okay. I was catatonic anyway. It didn't really matter what I was doing. And I sobbed like a little girl when I was in there.
Yeah, I was like, thanks for the umbilical bone you've just tossed me. But and by the way, how about some clarity? Because the first 128 times one of you idiots asked me if I wanted to cut the cord, I said, no, let the professionals handle that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a ceremonial cutting of the cord.
Right.
It's like when the mayor comes down and shovels the first scoop of dirt and then the Mexicans come in and build the shopping center. I was the mayor who thought I had to build the shopping center. And I was like, I'm not qualified to do that. And they're like,
clearly.
They never told me I was just going to stand there and do a photo op with a silver shovel.
Yeah, clear. And there's a lot of things they don't tell you.
Yes.
A lot. They emasculate you beyond belief because every 5 minutes, I don't know if this happened to you.
Yeah.
See what was going on.
And we're having conversations with me.
Pulled a senior Wences.
They were talking to you.
So I started answering Scott's question by moving their hands.
I shake your hand, Scott, but it's in your wife's vagina.
Right. And how are you feeling today, Mr. Baio? I don't know. I'm a little uptight that you got your hand inside there.
It's technically a three-way. Yeah. We had a menage in the OR.
And my line is, should all these people be getting to third base with my wife? It was just goofy.
I'm uncomfortable with the entire experience, and I don't think...
They did it right in the 50s, Adam.
I do not think we should be down at the closest bar buying brandy shots.
A cigarette and having a shot.
Cigarette, handing
so
out cigars.
With that. I don't care if the guys...
No, trust me, you will change.
Really?
You will want the guy to suffer with you.
That's what it is.
I just don't want him to see me.
Oh, I didn't see
him. I don't even want him to see me without my makeup. I want my innards out.
You'll never be married. You'll never be married.
All right, we're woefully late, and Scott Baio's got to get down to KTLA, so I'm going to give him a plug and send him on his merry way. Scott Baio is 46 and pregnant. Season premieres this Sunday, VH1, I saw every episode of 45 and
this
Single.
This year is great, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, great year.
I cannot wait. Well,
great stuff. Yeah,
I will be watching.
You go through all the emotions that I deal with this.
Congratulations on little Bailey.
Thank you so much.
I will take ourselves a break. We will take ourselves a break.
10 o'clock, Sunday night.
We will. I'll surprise you when we get back.
Wow. Engineering, are we go for recording?
No, Adam, it's not about this gear.
Robots are no-go.
As field commander, I cannot confidently say that we are ready.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, good news. Hunky Eric Stromer here from Over Your Head on HGTV. Home Improvement Show's going nuts. I did Tom Green's show last night, and there was a 45-year-old woman who plotzed when I said Eric Stromer.
She was plotzing?
She actually was in the act of plotzing.
She might have quelled.
She said, oh, Adam, I love the show. And I said, ah, great. And she goes, ah, I love the home improvement stuff. And I said, ah, awesome. I think we're going to do that tomorrow with Eric Stromer. And she stood up and screamed. A crazed schoolgirl. She swooned and then collapsed. Then she got up and fanned herself. That's right. Then later on, she hit me with the fan and said, fresh. Then I realized it was a man. It was John Goodman. I'd been attracted to her the whole night.
That must have made you feel funny inside.
I always love those movie premises where John Goodman dresses as the newest secretary. Puts on pumps and a summer dress, and the boss is always attracted.
Right, he likes a bigger gal.
Yeah, let me do some math. If John Goodman came in here wearing eyeliner and kissing potion, you think Jack Silver would be venturing down the hall?
Very bad example, Adam. Very bad example.
You really think so? He doesn't hit on 19-year-olds at Dimples with Leo. You think he'd hit on John Goodman?
Very wide net.
All right. Wide net? All right. What kind of net?
Widen it.
What are they going after?
Good name for TSB, by the way.
All right. Well, anyway, Stromer's going to be in here to answer your home improvement questions in a couple of few. Same name game. That's what I want to play. We have
the intro.
We have the intro.
Motherfuckers, suck it.
A little blast from the past. All right, I have some of the same name game contestants. These are new ones. In the past, some of my favorites. Now, these are people that share the same last name but could not be further apart on the... you'd have to be an animal to be further apart on the human spectrum. Tori Amos and from Good Times, John Amos.
That was a good one.
That is solid as Sears.
Philosophically, physically, emotionally,
I feel like
spiritually.
You could fit Tori and her entire band in one of John's nostrils.
He did have big nostrils.
Huge nostrils. I wish I had big nostrils.
Why?
More oxygen to the brain, number one. Number two, people could tell when I was mad.
You could flare them?
Yeah. It's one thing to toss up a brow, but flare a nose. Now people know you mean business. You know, when JJ would come home drunk and he'd be talking smack and John Amos come out in his bathrobe and he'd shoot a nostril at him. It was like, holy Christ. He is a scary man.
The only way for me to know you're angry now is when you challenge me to a dance war.
That's right. That's how we settle it in the parking structure.
Otherwise, I don't know.
Adam West and Kanye West.
Very good.
Yeah. Here's probably...
May West.
I think this would be my favorite. Colonel Sanders and Deion Sanders. Could you get further apart than Neon Deion and the guy who wore the white suit around with the cane? All right. And as we discovered, I think stumbled onto it maybe Monday from the new list, Dwayne Dog Chapman and Tracy Chapman. T?
That one's excellent.
Yeah, I think that may have been yours.
Yeah, well, it combines a racist with a mullet and a woman of color who sings with her acoustic.
Although he considers himself black and is confused that most people don't understand that.
Yeah, he should be allowed to drop a few N-bombs because he is black.
Sure. Willie Mays and my favorite infomercial man, Billy Mays. That guy. The guy who looks like he drew his beard on with a Sharpie.
Brian is obsessed with him.
I love Billy Mays. I want to come over to my house and show me how to use everything.
Billy Mays looks like that magnetic pirate thing you get where you take all the magnetic iron shavings and make the beard and stuff.
Wooly Willy.
Yeah, it looks like Wooly Willy. It's crazy, and he's never been more excited about whatever piece of crap he's selling this week.
And yet Brian is excited about him.
That's right.
I would like to get that guy to come out to a party. I really would.
Get him up to our Vegas show in February.
He is a celebrity in my mind. Anyway, who else do we have? Ah, here's a good one. Famous ex-Laker Michael Cooper and Anderson Cooper.
It's good.
The world's whitest man and the world's blackest man.
How about Winnie Cooper? Throw her into a three-way.
Who is that?
From, what was the show?
Winnie from Wonder Years. I never knew her last name. It was always Winnie.
Yeah.
Is that the chick that went on to learn math?
Yeah, UCLA. UCLA.
Wow, the first chick to learn math.
Hey, speaking of athletes, how about Rodney Pete, USC great, and Amanda Pete?
Solid.
Mm. Or Marcus Allen, another USC great, and Joan Allen.
Or Woody Allen.
Yeah, solid. Betty White and Jack White from the White Stripes.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's see. Somebody has a good one on here. Kenny. On line five, Kenny.
Hi. Robert Hayes, Stryker from Airplane, and Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
How do you guys feel about Tyler Perry and Aerosmith's Joe Perry?
Oh, Tyler Perry. Yeah, Tyler Perry.
Medea.
Medina or Medea. Right. Yeah, it's solid. Hey, Kevin?
Yeah.
You got a same name gamer for us?
Yeah, I got Juliette Lewis and Emmanuel Lewis.
Let me ask you this about Juliette Lewis. Do you think syphilis is eating her brain? Does it seem like she's... I don't see much of her, but once in a while she pops up on Entertainment Tonight with her band.
Yeah.
And she's wearing, like, spandex. And she's looking like Joan Jett circa 1986. And I just think to myself, what happened? Something's happened? Did something happen to her?
Something doesn't seem right.
I'd say Juliette.
You think she's Juliette?
Juliette's Juliette.
Yeah.
I like that.
I often think, like, when I was busting Scott Baio's chops about being with Aaron Moran, or Aaron Moorman, as I like to call her now, I would say more about her, but I'm scared she would kick the holy bejesus out of me. Her jaw just keeps getting bigger, and so do her biceps. She is going nutty. She is a scary, scary woman. Have you seen her?
She's one of God's children.
I must, so as uncomfortable as it must be for Scott Baio to look back on that episode in his life, imagine Brad Pitt.
He has to look back and recall that, and by the way, at the time, she was kind of dating down, if you'll recall. That was when she was a pretty big star. She had just done, I think, Natural Born Killers.
And
he was kind of a nobody.
Right. Yes. Now... he must thank his lucky stars. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Adam, I got one for you. Rock Hudson, Kate Hudson, and Ernie Hudson.
Trifecta. Strong. Yeah, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters, most famously. And Kate Hudson with her little son, Ryder. Now, hold on a second. Now I'm angry.
At what?
I got my son a haircut a couple of weeks ago. and immediately went from some little half a, you know what, pixie to a man. Just immediately, his face changed. It was crazy. Got like a normal hair. His haircut, his hair was sort of golden and kind of curly, yeah. And he looked really fey. And then he got a haircut, and boom, snapped into Dudeville almost immediately. And then a few days later, I saw that picture of Kate Hudson's kid with the ass-length, long blonde hair, looking like a chick. Mommy Goldie was holding him, and I thought, why are you trying to turn your dude into a chick? And if he wants to do it later on, like one of the Arquettes, if he wants to make that move, that's his decision. But at age 3 or 4, that's not his decision.
I'm so with you. It disturbs me because it seems kind of unfair to the kid. And also, the reverse is true. If you see a little girl with real short hair, like I got gum in my hair and my grandma cut it all off one summer. Hold and on. Everyone would go, your grand's...
You said gum, right?
I got gum in my hair.
I think.
And God. So my grandma's neighbor cut it off. I look like a boy, and everyone would say, your grandson's so cute.
Right.
I didn't need
effing
that.
With your kid's gender F's with their brain.
Yeah.
Yes, little Ryder Hudson can go for the first 8 years of his life thinking, having everyone in society say, oh, you have a cute little girl.
She's so pretty.
Teresa's right. Principal called home and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but your grandson's pregnant.
They could have taken some ice and gotten it out or whatever they do.
All right.
I
got one good one to end with here because Eric Stromer is chomping at the bit. Travis?
Hey, Adam.
I like this one. Give it to me.
I wanted to throw a little spin on it. I'd go with Rich Little and Little Richard.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. That is awesome. Hey, Travis?
Yeah.
Do we have an Xbox to give away? You're getting one. Yeah. Xbox 360.
That would be so freaking awesome.
How about that?
Thank you so much.
All
that
right.
Awesome.
You shouldn't be that excited about it.
I like that he's that excited.
I really am. I actually tried before, but I couldn't get through.
Oh, really? All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. But I'm just saying, when somebody gives you $140 worth of video game, if you say that's awesome 13 times, that means things aren't going well for you. Do you know what I'm saying?
How are things going, Travis?
I'm going to guess not awesome.
Construction market not too well.
Yeah, there you go. All right, buddy. Enjoy.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Same name game.
Thank you.
Same name game, motherfuckers. Suck it.
Eric Stromer from Over Your Head on HGTV. Hunky and capable is how I would describe Eric Stromer. Not one of these posers.
Yeah, he's no Ty Pennington.
Ty Posington, no. He's the real deal.
Why all the hating?
He was a tile contractor, so that's kind of where his emphasis is, but he seems to know everything about construction. Between the two of us, we will gladly answer any question you put before us. 866-901-ADAM. Your home improvement questions next. That is Mondays at 8:30, Saturdays at 11 a.m., and Thursdays at 11:30 p.m. Getting some mileage out
of
a winner.
Three times the week. Huh?
You ready to do some home improvement questions?
I'm here, and I love this, and let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Shall we just start at the top?
I think so.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Home improvement question, please.
Yes, sir. I got a roof that's leaking over in my garage. Just where the front of the house is basically about 5 foot from the front of the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it's just dripping like right down where the front of the wall is, but it's on the main beam that hooks onto the garage. Is that something that I should like?
Hey, Eric,
it'll be difficult to detect its origin, I would imagine.
Yes, so it moves around.
Yes, so it almost sounds like, unfortunately, you're going to have to re-roof your home.
Well, what kind of roof is on there now?
The house is only about 5 years old. Mm. I don't see anything as far as like where the tile or the shingles would be.
Well, how about what about like areas of a chimney or flashings? You know, the galvanized metal at right angles that sort of gets you up from the flat surface of the roof onto a wall. That's called the flashing. That could also be the culprit, or abundance of leaves. On the roof or something like that.
There are a bunch of things that poke out through your roof, vents and chimneys and things like that. And around those vents and chimneys, they have these collars, these sheet metal collars that's flashing. And if those aren't properly installed, the roofing can leak at that point. Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
You're calling from Portland.
In Lafayette. It's about a half an hour west of there.
But I'm guessing that's not where you're from.
No, sir.
Where are you from?
I'm from Georgia originally, sir.
There you go. I do love all that sir stuff.
I love that.
It is nice. There's respect.
Are you going to teach your little boy Sonny to call everyone sir?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
There you go.
Like, ma'am, but
super polite racist. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, no.
Sure, I'm going to have to lynch you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Ma'am, if you wouldn't mind sitting in the back of the bus.
Ma'am, go ahead and tie yourself to the back of the pickup truck now. Thank you, ma'am. You know, have a good day while I'm dragging you. Thank you.
Sir, if you wouldn't mind while I tar you.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I would say that if the roof is only 5 years old, I'm with Eric Stromer. Go up there, look around, see if you can find some leaves piling up or something around the flashing or something around a collar. And you can get up there with some of that Henry's goo, the plastic cement, and literally just put it on like cake frosting around some of the openings that come out of your roof just to play it safe. See if that works.
Yeah, usually the shingles are not going to be leaking. It's going to be something like what Adam's talking about, where something's poking up out or leaves are gathering in the gutter and it's backing up at that place. Also, is there a crawl space that you could get into the attic and look up directly on the plywood where you could potentially see a leak coming directly into the space?
No, sir. It's in the garage where it's like our bedrooms. There's two kids' bedrooms above the garage.
Yeah.
And it's right at that main frame where the bedrooms are basically about 5 foot behind the edge of the garage.
All right. Well, then you have to go up and check it out. And be careful, because the number one killer of 40-year-old white guys is falling off of ladders and roofs.
Yes, sir. You got there, right?
We get up there. There's no woman alive that'll get up on a ladder. But, guys, we hop right up on that ladder.
And then we die.
Fall off. And that's where they find us. All right, let's talk to, he died a hero who's trying to get leaves out of a gutter. Steve?
Yeah.
Good news. You have a tiling question, and Eric Stromer used to be a tile contractor.
What is happening?
I hear he's the man for that.
That's correct, sir.
I have a walk-in shower stall that's tiled, and on the curb section that you step over to get into the shower, there are some loose tiles and grout, and it's kind of swelling away from the wall. And the floor is getting a little soft in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the shower pan itself doesn't leak.
And is there a shower door on the top of the dam, which is what it's called, actually, that curb is a shower dam. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, there's a glass-type shower door.
Mm-hmm. And so it probably is leaking every time you shower underneath the door, and it's not the seal is not appropriate.
Right. And the tile is ugly as heck anyway. So mm-hmm. My question is, can I just retile it without rebuilding the whole shower pan?
You could do some exploratory demolition and try and carefully take off those top pieces and then retile the top of the dam only. Is that what you're saying, or do you want to just do the whole dam itself or just the top part cosmetically?
Cosmetically, I'd like to retile the whole shower.
I'll tell you this, Eric Stromer. Tell me what you think of this
idea. See, I'm hooked into the sir thing now from this last call.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What do you think, and I've done it, and I might not recommend it for horizontal tile, but vertical stuff, I've had success with it. I've painted tile.
Yes.
Because it's a big job to knock out a bunch of tile because you have to refloat. Now, this isn't exactly his situation in his case, but overall, etching it and painting it with that porcelain two-part epoxy, whatever.
Right.
Have you done it? Do you like it?
I've done it. If it's like a real estate flip and it's a cosmetic thing that you feel comfortable with, that you're going to walk away and the thing will last for 2 to 3 years, yes.
Right.
If you want it for the long haul, I would say no.
All right. So you're saying that the sweep on the bottom of this guy's door may be screwed up.
And then the problem, though, from what you've said, is that it sounds like you're now getting into the system below the tile, and you may have sort of affected all the rotting potentiality on that dam with the wood underneath the cement, so you might get into a whole big problem. So open it up, take a look at it, almost like it's a cancer patient. Cut out the rot and then start over, or you have to retile the whole shower. I know, that's exactly...
Juan from Azusa, you want to know how to fix a hole in the door that you punched?
Yeah, I punched a hole in my bathroom door. But it's not like...
Can we talk about the origin of the anger that's in your body right now?
I have no anger right now.
Let's do some exploratory demo on the inside.
On Juan, yes.
What happened, Juan?
Me and my old lady were arguing, and I, you know, I got a little upset and I just punched the door and...
Now, did you punch it from the inside out or did she lock herself in the bathroom?
Yeah, in the bathroom and then I just... And went through the door.
But you were trying to get to her.
Was she in the bathroom? Were you pulling like a Jack Nicholson?
No, it was like she was trying to close the door on my face while we were arguing. So then I just, you know.
You punched the door near her face?
No, God, no. She was,
No, God, no. It was near her abdomen.
She was 9 months pregnant.
You think I'm the kind of freak? It was by her leg.
Good.
Now, sir,
it was by, she was closing it. Now, she was closing it. I, you know, tried to stop it, but I guess I swung.
Now, Juan, this is a hollow corridor?
Yeah, it's hollow. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Now, here's the thing. And by the way, there's a sort of thing. There's one of these things that works out. Most couples that get in these kind of altercations have hollow core doors.
Yeah, they need to get solid core
doors.
There's
a perfect correlation, you're saying.
His hand would be broken five ways right now if that
now,
was
is that
a solid core door.
Cheap hollow core.
But
cheap.
It might cause him to get more frustrated when he can't get through the door, and then maybe further bodily damage could occur to his wife once she does come out of the bathroom.
Decent point. I would argue it should be a code that all bathrooms have a solid core door.
Someone's always locking themselves in a bathroom.
And not only that, but whatever you're doing in the bathroom goes right through that hollow core door.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hollow core door will make a 3 into a 9.
Right.
It just, I don't know how it works. I'm not a percussionist.
You mean a number 3? Because I didn't even know I thought there was just 2.
What I'm saying is whatever you're doing on the decibel meter in there is going to be amplified when it comes through that. It's
it
like a
diaphragm
or something.
It's like a subwoofer all of a sudden.
Yes, it's a boombox. It's like, what's the guy doing in there? He's doing the beatbox or is he taking a dump?
He's actually going number 6.
Yeah, so there should be hollow or solid, but thank God they were hollow, so Juan didn't break his hand. So, Juan, you punched through the door, and you now want to know how to fix it.
Yeah, I need to know how to fix it because I don't want to pay anything out of the deposit when we move.
Oh, right. A renter. What a shock.
How big is the hole?
It's about 4 inches, give or take.
Okay. Now, what you have is masonite. Hollow core masonite. There's two pieces of 1/8-inch masonite. It's an interior door, so it's 1 3/8 wide. Exterior, 1 3/4. Punch a hole in it. It's solid. There's a little cardboard ribbing that's in there. Here's what I would say. There's a couple ways you could do it. It's probably not completely broken off. It's probably dented in.
Right.
You could put some glue in it and sort of stick a screw into it and pull the flaps out till they got flush again and then sort of sand it up and do it. Or you could just fill the whole thing with Bondo and paint it Navajo white and call it a day.
Right. Or, Juan, by the time you do all that, you could buy a new hollow core door for like $45 at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And further destroy it with a sledgehammer the next time and really get through and have the fun you want.
That'll
do you mind if I ask, Juan, what was this fight over?
just stuff. I mean, we just argue all the time, and then she just, every time we argue, she tries, you know, she walks away and...
I'll tell you what I would do, Juan. I would go get a new masonite hollow core door from the Home Depot and swing it on there. But I wouldn't throw away the old one. I would keep it in case we got into another blowout.
Good point, Adam.
Then when she locked herself in the bathroom, you calmly run out to the yard, grab the new door, pull the hinges, pull the hardware, swing the thing, and then punch your head through it.
Exactly.
Yes?
And can I make one minor relationship adjustment? Could you just not call her your old lady but refer to her as her name? That might be a great start.
Yeah, I know. Some people do that and it's cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not in this case.
No. Juan, I've learned that they prefer skank over old lady.
Or skis.
All right,
my brother.
Hey, Adam, can you give one of my back home buddies, Ozzy, a good hello? Because I'm Nicaraguan too,
so I want
to tell him what's up. All right.
Oh, really? All right.
See.
He's having sex with my wife right now, but when he gets off, I'll tell him.
All right. Thank you.
All right. It's great.
You farm that out now too?
Oh, for the love of Christ. I came home on Friday. Ozzy was dressed as Santa Claus. dressed as Santa and taking pictures with my kids in front of my Christmas tree.
January 4th.
I said, what's going on here? My wife said, we didn't get pictures at the mall this year because you were too lazy. Now I'm forced to dress Ozzy. I said, you know you're not forced to. We need pictures of the kids with Santa every year, and you screwed up, and you didn't want to go to the mall with me this year, and we missed the window closed on Santa, and now I'm forced to dress Ozzy, your heavyset, midget, Nicaraguan worker, as Santa, posing with the children. And I said, Ozzy's here to work on other crap that I want him to work on. No, he's not. He's dressing as Santa. So he dressed as, I don't know. Ozzy is dark skin, and he's wearing this white beard. The white beard and white wig make him 10 shades darker when he puts it on. Then he puts the hat on, but he doesn't have a jacket, so he takes a red shawl and he puts it around his neck. Then he sits in my living room on a chair next to my Christmas tree, which is supposed to sort of simulate the mall Christmas tree. And my wife thinks we're going to slide it under the radar.
Right.
Like, we're going to sit down with our kids on their 10th birthday and go, we love you very much. We got every picture every year. Here you are with... This was in Mexico.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
one we're on vacation.
The
you don't
guy
remember.
With a Christmas poncho.
And then then there's this year right back at the mall and so on and so forth. The problem is Natalia, my girl, was not having any of it. Ozzy freaks her out enough, much less Ozzy with the gray beard. She didn't want to get near Ozzy, so she would not sit on the crazy man's lap. I don't blame her and take a picture. So we didn't get the picture, and of course I was blamed for that. We need to take a break. Eric Stromer here, over your head, HGTV. We'll finish your home improvement questions next.
More home improvement with Adam Carolla and HGTV's Eric Stromer on The Adam Carolla Show.
Eric Stromer, way more man than I could ever dream of being, but never, never as much as Aaron Moran.
He's slightly less masculine.
Somewhere between me and Aaron Moran. That's where Eric Stromer can be found. Big, strapping, good-looking guy. It's really, it's like out
Aaron.
Of a commercial.
That's exactly right.
You know when they do those commercials where they show the friendly serviceman that's going to show up to your house?
Yeah.
He looks like Eric Stromer.
Yeah.
Now, the guy who shows up looks like Ozzy. But the guy in the commercial, the guy on the side of the van, that's
like,
Eric Stromer.
The plumber guy, the Brazil guy.
That's right.
That guy with the unitard suit. What is that thing? We got to get him, Adam.
Yes.
With the belted one-piece suit.
Good-looking tan man with a crescent wrench. Eric Stromer, Over Your Head is the name of the show. HGTV, Mondays, Saturdays, Thursdays. They're even thinking of inventing an 8-day of the week so they can
just
run this show.
Their show.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they'll have American Idol and Over Your Head.
Exactly.
We'll hop back to the phones.
Hey, can I just interject one thing to a testament to how these segments can change people's lives? My own sound man, Mike, did the recessed television in his wall.
Really?
The Adam Carolla signature.
That's the greatest recessed thing. Did he have any trouble with it?
He said no trouble, seamless. He loves it. He's completely
How did
satisfied.
He handle the heat situation?
He did slit vents above and built it in as part of the framing.
Yes, as I've said, the stud inside your wall's 3.5 inches. They call it a 2x4, but it's really 3.5. And the drywall that's over it is 1/2 inch, maybe 5/8.
Right.
You have about 4 inches to play with. Your TV set, your panel TV, 4 inches. You can flush mount it right into the wall.
It should be
it
patented.
It looks amazing.
This
put a picture frame around it, and it's very cool.
People
you know, you've heard of the Jarvik Hart, the guy that invented... Well, this
the
is
Corolla.
The Corolla recessed television.
Yeah. Awesome. I already have the Recyclarola. Was over at Jimmy's house, and the Recyclarola is just that 3-inch piece of PVC pipe that shoots the bottles and cans out into the recycling thing. I had a few beers, and Huey Lewis was over there. I was feeling a little proud of myself, and I was like, Huey, come over here. I got some news for you. You know what that thing's called right there? That little flat man? Go ahead. Throw your bottle down there. Go ahead, Huey. Yeah. You know what that's called? And he's like, what, man? The Recyclarola. And he's like, all right. Now can I finish watching the goddamn game?
Was that before or after you lost Sonny?
I didn't lose him. He ran upstairs. What am I supposed to do? Nail the kid to the floor?
Huh?
Speaking of the floor, someone here has a squeaky floor. Gerald has a squeaky floor. Let's see. Gerald?
What? Hey, yo.
Yo, Gerald.
Yo. Yeah, I almost ran some J.O. off the
road. You're driving.
He's
Yeah.
All right. So you have a squeaky floor. Hardwood, or is it the subfloor under the carpet?
No, hardwood, man.
Hmm.
You know, a quick fix on any hardwood floor, believe it or not, baby powder.
Yeah, talcum.
Talcum. Throw it down there, sweep it around a little bit, walk around on it a couple of times, do it again, vacuum it up, see how it feels.
Is that right?
Yes, it works. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first possibility.
Yeah, because it'll just slip into the cracks. You know, what you want to do is put it down there. As a matter of fact, I like to draw it up like a rail in case the old lady comes home, freak her out.
Right.
Jesus
right,
Christ.
Yeah.
3 foot
back
rail.
Back in the game, baby.
That's right. Let's go to Miami. Let's party. Let's do something. Yeah. Put it in there. Work it into the cracks. It'll stop that little friction sound. Now, other than that, you're probably going to have to work from the underside.
Right.
Can you get underneath your house?
Yeah, there's crawl space.
You're up on a raised foundation because they do have these things, Eric. I don't know if you've seen these things, but your floor joists will be 16 inches on center or 24 inches on center. The subfloor will sit on top of that floor joist, the plywood. Then the hardwood will sit on top of that. They make these little, like, kind of corner bracket things with these kind of drywall wood screws that you can put into that to stop the squeaking of the subfloor on top of the joist.
Great.
But I don't know what it's going to do for the hardwood. Now, if you were really good, you could go, well, I got a 3/4 plywood subfloor and I have a 1/2 inch worth of hardwood or 3/4 or whatever that is. I'm going to take a screw that is just long enough to go through, suck it down, but not poke through the other side.
May I make one more suggestion?
Hmm.
Shims. You can find the origin of the squeak. You can find where the subfloor rests on the joist. And put a little shim right in that spot there. It might give it enough space and take the space away so it no longer creaks.
Right.
Try that.
Aaron Moran.
Aaron Moran and I did that once. It worked in her house.
By the way, not one Huell Hauser dropped this entire home improvement.
Come on.
What gives?
Play Huell Hauser.
Because we were all praised for you today. Now you're scared. You don't want to make Adam mad.
This is amazing.
Thank you.
I'm angry. Anthony?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's going on?
I've got some Great Dane and another puppy tearing up my yard. I want to condemn him to a concrete pad on the side.
You all right, Eric?
You want to put a fence on your concrete pad, or you want to pour a concrete pad?
I want to put a fence on the concrete pad to keep them back there, but I can't seem to get in. It's an old pad with the rocks in it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried a hammer drill with a masonry bit, and it seems to not really.
All of this almost too exciting to bear.
All right, now the only difference between cement and concrete is concrete has aggregate in it; it has rocks in it. So you have concrete down there, and it's old, and it's hard, and it's cured, and you want to drill into it. Now, roto hammer should work. I don't understand why it's not working.
I don't know. I get in maybe a 1/2 inch, and it just kind of slows down and stops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make coring bits that actually have a water saw capability. So they're shooting water on a large bit that'll drill post-size holes. And you can rent these machines at a tool rental place.
Yeah, I would say, Anthony, you need to get a sharper bit and a better roto hammer. And perhaps you should rent a big Bosch one, because the one you have isn't working. And a good one will go through anything eventually.
Okay.
Now, once you get down in there, then you got to blow out the hole. You got to take a wire brush and go through the hole, then blow it out, get all the dust out of there, and then put a piece of all thread or bolt or whatever you're putting down there and put it in with the epoxy gun, right?
Yeah, I had some other bolts with a little sliding collar. I don't know if that works, but...
It'll work, but here's a tip. You're going to put 4x4 posts on top of this slab.
Yep.
Put the spacer thing so the post doesn't sit right on the slab, wicking up the moisture from the slab and rotting out. They have those little galvanized spacer blocks. They're like 3/4 inch.
Gotcha.
All right, my brother.
All right, thanks.
And good times.
Good luck.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
And by the way, you have a Great Dane. Who needs a dog the size of a donkey?
That's weird.
You know what I mean? German Shepherd, too small a dog for you. Lab, too puny. You want something
it's
you
like
can
a pony,
ride?
Pony dog.
Yeah, you
it
want
is.
Something you can take vegetables down to the mart with every morning that'll drag a cart?
Right. Yeah, you know.
Just saying. It's weird. Fire. And look, I'll tell you my feeling on dogs.
Yeah.
I like a big dog, but not so big that if the dog ever decides to have sex with me,
it can.
There's nothing I can do. Just bite the towel and enjoy. Just don't distract him and let's get this over with. That's what I don't want. I don't want to come home at the end of a long day and see the dog put down its martini and raise an eyebrow and go, it's go time, buddy. I'm like, you see birds flying away from the top of the house. I don't want that.
In the corner, Ozzy, dressed as Santa, runs That's out, right. but he can't help you.
It was just a Christmas poncho and a Speedo, and this is where it just goes south.
Ozzy starts wrestling. He gets violated as well. It turns into some sort of crazy three-way. The wife walks in, is disgusted, pukes right into that umbrella, you know, that umbrella holder right there, and leaves. Goes to her mother's house and never comes back.
And then silence, a strange silence.
That's right.
She left you for Aaron Moran.
Cut to me.
Aaron.
Cut to me and the dog smoking a cigarette with Ozzy.
And in the end, it wasn't so bad.
No.
Mm-hmm. Once you just gave into it.
That's right. I take a rape shower. The dog takes one.
Shower.
But the one where the lesbian pulls the van up to your house and cleans them in the driveway.
Do they do that?
Is that a lesbian gig? Driving a van that comes to your house that cleans your dog? That is the most lesbian of all gigs, right?
I've had several of them, and it feels that way.
Big hunchy chick comes out in a pair of gaiters
and
some tough skins. Where's the dog? Throws it into the van.
Out here.
You got a hose bib out here, hon?
I got to express the anus.
By the way, I got
someone tell me about the gland thing with the dog? Is this necessary, really?
My wife announced to me that Molly has to head for her 6-month checkup.
Yeah.
And all I hear is a cash register. I just say, you know, here's how my life works. You know, Molly, she needs to go to the, and the vet says, and Sharon says that it's important. When I hear you know it's important or you don't want the kids to fall behind or, you know, Caesar Milan, the guy who talks to the dogs, he says, pow. That's all I tune out. This is all I hear. I don't hear what he says. I don't hear what she said. I don't hear what the kids need. And Molly's going to get her 6-month checkup. Dogs. Like we're talking about an elderly woman here. For
That's
Christ's
right.
sake,
I just,
a 5-year-old dog.
I was away out of town, and I had my dog go to this place to, you know, board it. It had a pool and a little climbing wall.
Sure.
And it was like $1,000 a
minute. Caesar says, if the dog doesn't get aromatherapy, holy Christ, really?
Yeah.
The dog, so Molly's having her glands expressed. There's a gig. And by the way, you know the jobs you tip for and the ones you don't? I've always said, you give the guy behind the counter at the Starbucks a couple of bucks or you give the other guy a couple of bucks for putting a little smear on a bagel for you. How about the chick that's got to do the anal gland expressing?
Here's 10 bucks.
Here's 10, baby. I wish it was more. I wish I could do more. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Eric Stromer, delight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I got a man crush on him. Eric Stromer can be found on Over Your Head, HGTV.
Aaron
Moran. Guest starring Aaron Moran as the lead carpenter.
Can I have that as my phone, my ringtone?
Actually, probably could load that as a ringtone. I got to express the anus.
Oh, that'll be it.
That's it.
You got a lot of work ahead of you because we got the news. You got to express the anus.
I got to express the anus.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Eminem. Why the real Slim Shady can't stand up.
We'll take ourselves a break. We'll find out that story and the rest of the news next.
Boa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, South Worth, Washington. A 66-year-old man shot himself in both legs while trying to loosen a stubborn lug nut on his Lincoln Continental with a 12-gauge shotgun. Definitely not a Jew.
That is a front runner. I know the year is young, but I don't know if you're going to do better than that.
It's going to be tough.
Hey, Bald Brian, before we get to the news, our unofficial message board.
Mm-hmm.
How's that work?
It's very easy now. All you do now is go to AdamCarollaMessageBoard.com. Takes you right to it. Share your thoughts of the show. Find out what other people think, et cetera, et cetera.
I would send you to our website, our official website, except for we don't have a message board anymore. Yes. Spurious reasons. I have no idea why, but it's gone, and evidently it's not coming back. So here's my advice to you. Do not go to the official website. Go to the unofficial website, and then you can talk amongst yourselves.
For the fans, by the fans.
Thank you.
Yes, you have to appreciate that they've gone and done that for you, Adam.
I do. I'm flattered. And I read it, and I get ideas and suggestions off it. T.
Yes.
Let's do the news.
I got to express the anus.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Where I pull most of my stories out of. Yesterday, Senators John McCain and Hillary Clinton, the big winners in New Hampshire, the first primary in the 2008 presidential election was held. McCain, he beat out Mitt Romney, he beat out Huckabee, and here he is giving an acceptance speech.
My friends, you know, I'm past the age when I can claim the noun kid, no matter what adjective precedes it. But tonight, we sure showed them what a comeback looks like.
I like McCain.
Hard not to like him.
Yeah, even though he's ruined three airplanes.
I forgot about that.
Well, he ruined like 30 airplanes. Craziest story ever. You know, first, I believe he crashed in training when he was going to be a pilot. Then he recovered from that, and they put him on the Forestall, which is an aircraft carrier. And then he was involved. I think he was flying A-4s, like in Vietnam, off the carrier. And then one of the greatest naval disasters in our history, which is one of the rockets from a plane hit the one he was in when he was on the deck. Imagine you're just sitting in your fueled up, rocketed up, bombed up A4, getting ready to take off, and somebody from another plane's rocket hits yours. So the entire ship catches on fire, and then all the jet fuel catches on fire, and then all the bombs that are in the fire start going off.
This is why everything should be solved through dance.
That's right. If we had just gotten together with the Viet Cong.
Right.
And had a...
Charlie Hustle.
Had a Bruno... had a Bruno and what's-her-nose type Carrie Ananaba type dance-off on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, a lot of Americans would still be alive.
That is true.
So then he blows up that ship and every plane that's on that ship, and then he recovers from that, and he gets in another plane and promptly gets shot down again. So that's at least three aircraft he owes us.
Well, perhaps he can pay us back with his service. As president, he's now doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton shocked everybody by edging out Barack Obama, who had a big bounce from the Iowa caucus last week. A lot of people are saying that Hillary Clinton got the vote because earlier she was talking to the press in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and her eyes filled with tears as she talked about balancing her personal and her professional life. Mm. She spoke about that breakdown on the early show.
It was very touching to me. You know, people come up to me all the time and say such kind and really loving things. And, you know, that touches me emotionally.
She got the black caucus out to vote. That's the whole thing.
They say also that she was doing well with older women.
Mm-hmm.
But since her breakdown, younger women have taken to her.
Mm-hmm. And let's just hope her and Barack don't split the black caucus.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big black caucus.
I understand. It's a swinging.
It's a big black swinging caucus. Black caucus. Yeah. You know who has a smaller caucus?
Who?
Asian caucus. Not as big. Don't hear about them as much. Yeah.
No, it's a smaller
Asian caucus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a white caucus. It's about in between. About in the 50-yard line between the black caucus and the Asian caucus.
Speaking of black caucus,
mm-hmm.
Eminem does not have one.
Mm.
No, he's part of the white caucus.
Seems like he's part of the black caucus.
Now, there's some people, you look at them and you think, either that person was fat, or I can see that person becoming fat.
Mm-hmm.
Eminem looks like the kind of guy, he even calls himself Slim Shady. Seems like the kind of guy who's always been skinny and underweight. Well, now, according to TMZ, he weighs upwards of 200 pounds. They also say he was rushed to a Detroit area hospital sometime over the holidays for a serious heart condition and severe pneumonia. His reps downplayed the story, but did admit that Eminem had been hospitalized. According to the rep, over the holidays, Marshall Mathers, a.k.a. Eminem, was under doctor's care at Detroit area hospitals for complications due to pneumonia. He has since been released and is doing well, recovering at home.
Hmm. No more Slim Shady.
Yeah.
Wig of Soda Fats. Maybe that'll work. I think of a new name for him.
That's good.
Thank you. I don't know him intimately, but I did go down to Michigan and hang with him for a couple of days doing some crank yankers calls. It was a surreal experience. It's really like I was high the entire time. Me and Jimmy and the rest of the crank yanker guys went out and hung with him at his recording studio in a really bad neighborhood in Detroit for a few days, and all he did was eat Taco Bell.
Huh.
And it was funny because I think that year he made $47 million.
He's keeping it real.
Yeah. You don't have more than 30 cents to spend on a burrito, huh? Interesting. All right.
I guess the Taco Bell caught up with him.
Yeah.
Upwards of 200, and he was a slight man.
Well, I think what happened was is Taco Bell, I don't know if you saw the commercial or not, has discovered a fourth meal. They discovered a meal between dinner and breakfast.
Americans need another meal.
We're not fat enough. There should be a class action lawsuit against Taco Bell. They discovered, and I don't know what they want, spelunking, or they went inside a pyramid. I don't know where you found it, but they found a fourth meal.
Does this meal have a name?
Its street name is I'm Loaded and I Got 50 Cents. I'm high as a kite and I have a nickel. That's the street name. I don't know what they call it, but somewhere around midnight, you should go get yourself five chalupas and wash it down with a Sprite. And I'm guessing that's what put the pounds on Eminem.
Well, just as I never thought I'd see a fat Eminem, I never thought I would see Sean Penn and Robin Wright.
Well, let me say this. He is called the Slim Shady. True, but he's also named after a candy.
That's true.
So you'd think that kind of evens it out.
That
Sorry.
Does.
Sean who
Sean
and what?
Sean Penn, actor, Spicoli, director of Into the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
He and Robin Wright recently announced that they're splitting up.
Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why, but the Star tabloid claims it knows. Supposedly, Sean and Robin went for what was going to be a romantic weekend in Lake Tahoe just before Christmas. Again, this is from Star Magazine. Sean booked them separate suites. He then ignored Robin. She got fed up with the arrangement. She barged into Sean's suite and found him, quote, drunk with two Russian girls.
Wow.
In a three-way with two Russian girls. Reportedly, Sean was unaffected by his wife's discovery and resumed his festivities.
Sean Connery. Nice. To Russia with love. Sweet. You sure he wasn't, where was he? Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, so they say.
I thought he'd just be in a canoe with a shotgun yelling, come on, black people, jump in. Huh? Sean, no, there's just a bunch of white rich people. Come on, black folk, get in. I'm here to save you.
It's Lake Tahoe.
Oh, okay.
Later, he responded to questions of Robin's whereabouts with, who cares?
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, Sean Penn is a very talented guy, but a colossal blowhard. And the bloom must be off that rose. I mean, doesn't Robin Wright, shouldn't she be breathing a sigh of relief? Could you imagine being hooked up with Sean Penn for 15 years?
He's very talented.
I know, but you get over that in the first 6 months, and then you have this.
I'll tell you, when he was on Oprah promoting Into the Wild, she had a talk with him about why he couldn't accept the love.
Right.
That he was getting from his fans. And it was time to just let the love in.
Mm-hmm.
He did not appreciate it at all.
No, he did not. He's the world's most serious human being. He really is. I've never seen the guy crack a smile. She had got to be relieved. She needs to get with a fun guy.
Yeah.
Dom DeLuise.
That should be her next
guy. That should be her next guy.
I know he's a family man, but...
Screw them.
Just somebody just totally lighthearted.
Well, yeah. Rip Taylor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's alive.
Somebody's a good time. Someone's a party.
Bobby Uecker.
There you go. Cracking wise,
she's
having a good time.
She's a beautiful woman. She's got a lot of good years left.
Oh. She could show her a good time. Her and the Uke. It's awesome.
I know you wait all year for this, but it's time for Mr. Blackwell's Worst Dressed Celebrities of 2007.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Someone on line three. Read line three. Read line one out loud and line three out loud, and you guess which one I'm going to.
Okay. Line one is, I want to hear more Bald Brian on the show.
Who?
Mm-hmm. You bet your ass is going to be a drop, by the way, Teresa.
Mm-hmm. I love Bald Brian more than anything. Also, line three says, and I quote, is amazed how funny Adam is. Good times.
Steve?
Yeah, how you doing?
Line three.
How you doing?
Good times. What's up?
It just amazes me. You just about speak in punchlines, and I don't even think you know how funny you're being until it's already come out.
Mm. What was that, Miss Passive Aggressive?
No, that's true. Adam is amazingly fast.
No, he says that, I mean, the big swinging black caucus. I mean, I've been around some of them caucuses, and, you know, you're right.
Black caucus?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
I like Steve.
Yes. I got an idea for you, T. How about you express yourself through the majesty of anal expression and a little less with the talking. Thanks, Steve.
All right, man. Thanks.
Good times.
Bye.
It's going to be a long drive from Chatsworth to Hoboken. I don't know where he's going.
Do you want to talk to Brandon? He loves Bald Brian.
Brandon?
Yeah, hey.
You're a fan of Bald Brian?
Actually, I'm the biggest fan of your show ever.
Wow. And you love Bald Brian.
I think you should have him take over Bonaducci's vacant space.
Dude, are you gay?
Well.
That's my favorite drop.
Nobody could fill those size 6 cowboy boots, number one. But number two, yes, Bald Brian, as the show moves forward and evolves, will make bigger contributions, not only through letting his fingers do the walking, but also letting his mouth do the talking. So thanks, Brandon.
When are you guys going to have your next live event?
It's a good question.
I think we're
question.
In Vegas at some point.
Yeah. Why don't you come out? I think we'll be in Vegas in February or something like that.
You have to let me know. You know, you have to give me a call.
Yeah, we'll page you, Brandon. How about you do this? How about you listen to the goddamn radio?
How about I get half-baked in the morning and listen to you guys? How about that?
Smart, buddy.
Yeah, 10-4, over and out.
All right, easy on that hacky sack.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Nice to talk to you.
Hey, T-Bone.
Yep.
You got Blackwell's list.
I sure do.
And he's still alive.
Some say, although I have not seen him in a while.
All right.
This
I would have assumed he would have been claimed by the HIV or Hep C or one of those diseases somewhere in the mid-80s. But he's still going, and he's still critiquing. And I think what we're going to do is take a break.
Sounds good.
And when we come back, you got Blackwell's list.
I do.
You got Fortune 500 companies that helped the Nazis.
Some will surprise you.
Oh, really? Also,
I got to express the anus.
Well, you got the robber crashes car or something. Ashes? What?
What's
washes. The last story? Oh, washes. All
yeah,
right,
he got
typo.
His car washed.
Mm-hmm.
Applied to the car. Listen, it's too good.
It's too good. To, yeah. All right, that's a teaser. We'll do Blackwell's list, the rest of the news next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Baby girl?
Yes.
You ready to continue the news?
I sure am. Mr. Blackwell has come out with his list of the worst dressed celebrities of 2007. Number 5, Kelly Clarkson. Number 4, Fergie. Number 3, Mary-Kate Olsen. Number 2, Amy Winehouse. And the worst dressed person, according to Mr. Blackwell, Victoria Posh Spice Beckham. He says, forget the fashion spice. Wearing a skirt would suffice. In one skinny mini monstrosity after another, Pouty Posh can really wreck 'em.
He's the gay, white, alive Nipsey Russell. I've said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times. That's
gay,
what Blackwell
white,
is.
Alive, yes. Nipsey Russell.
What a great gay fantasy. You get to pick apart women and the way they dress. You take those creatures with the cooties and then you make fun of them until they cry.
They're icky when they wear bad clothes.
I agree with the Posh Spice thing. She just looks like an orange popsicle with fake boobs. teeth that are way too white.
Well, she's got a lot of money.
I tell you, I see her and I feel like I have an eating disorder.
Do you feel fat?
Just I feel like an insecure 15-year-old girl when I see her who wants to vomit.
You just described my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about this car wash story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On Christmas, a 48-year-old man named Jimmy Leroy Walker.
Yeah.
A white man.
Huh?
Yes.
Definitely not a Jew.
I now look up the race because I know I may be asked.
J.L. Walker.
Jimmy Leroy Walker.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Your favorite state of Florida.
Yeah. That's coming into focus now.
He broke into the Sunshine Car Wash in Clearwater and stole an undisclosed amount of money out of the cash register. He was caught on the security camera wearing nothing on his face, but with socks on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to leave fingerprints, although there was a security camera which could clearly see his face. A few days later, he broke back into the same car wash and stole a tip jar containing $9. Well, the manager took a look at the security tape, and he recognized Jimmy.
Can I just ask this? You don't empty the tip jar at the end of the day? You're just going to leave that pickle jar filled with change and singles out on the counter? Doesn't that stuff get whacked up amongst the guys that are washing the cars?
You'd think. I mean, that's $9.
All right.
Well, the manager looked at the security tape of both the initial theft and the tip jar theft, and he recognized Jimmy Leroy Walker. Why? Because Jimmy had just applied for a job at the car wash.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, when you get turned down at the car wash, actually, I was turned down at the Taco Bell in North Hollywood when I was 15 and a half. I'm still depressed and hurt over it. I think I could have been the president if I didn't stumble and have that injury at 15 and a half. But how low does that have to put your self-esteem when the guy who's wearing the jumpsuit, smoking the cigar with the rag hanging out of his back pocket tells you, you're not sunny, sunshine car wash material. You're just not going to cut it. You're not fit to get bird droppings off the hood of a Buick. Sorry, that takes a special breed of cat. You ain't up to it. Not physically, not emotionally, not now, not ever.
Well, he's now been charged with 2 counts of commercial burglary and felony theft.
I feel like the video camera came about 5 years before criminals got the word that there were video cameras. I just want to say something because I know we have a large crowd out there that is planning on committing crimes or is currently committing a crime. Most businesses have these things. They're called surveillance cameras. They will see your ass and then we will see your ass on CNN. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, what happened to putting a stocking over your head? Take the extra minute.
Put the you know what it is? Women don't wear stockings anymore.
It's a good point. They're very out of style.
Yeah.
It's fishnets now.
Right. And that doesn't work.
Not really.
It's just weird. It's like someone's trying to squeeze the water out of you.
With the fishnet?
Yeah. Strange. Okay.
Now let's talk about the Nazis. There are 5 Fortune 500 companies that made it big by helping Nazis. I will tell you about a couple of them that might surprise you.
Now, these weren't formerly German companies?
American companies. Hugo Boss was the manufacturer of the uniforms for the Nazi SS guards and the outfits for the Hitler Youth. The outfits were manufactured in sweatshops by prisoners of war that the Nazis had taken.
I'll tell you, say what you will about the Krauts, but they knew how to dress. They're the best-looking helmet and the best-looking uniforms.
It's true, streamlined.
Yeah. All right.
IBM.
Hmm?
Yeah, a lot of American companies worked with the Nazis before the war. IBM kept working with them after the war started. IBM made punch cards, which at the time were the way that people kept databases. So IBM shipped Hitler the punch cards that the Nazis used to track people. Each prisoner had a card that identified him as a Jew, gypsy, homosexual, whatever. Then ID'd what concentration camp they were in.
I only agree with killing 2 out of those 4.
Just 2 of the 4?
Yeah, I'm not going to say which ones because I know we have a lot of gypsy listeners, but there are 2 out of the 4 I do agree with.
Please don't upset the gypsies.
All right.
Today, IBM says that they were a victim of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Germans took over their factories over there. But internal memos from IBM say that's not true. IBM has never apologized for helping Hitler keep track of all the people he was killing.
Hmm.
Now, I'll leave you with this. This is interesting. I don't know if you've ever worked with a woman who wore just too much perfume.
Ozzy's wife.
A little too much.
Little? Little would be nice.
This is Sonia. Is that her name? Am I getting it right?
I'll think of it in a minute.
It's only been 17 years.
See?
Yeah, Sylvia.
Well, this Sylvia, so this thing.
Where's a ton of it?
This might give you some
insight. I mean, it burns my eyes.
I know. There's one in every office. Sometimes I like it because I like the smell of perfume, but occasionally it can be overwhelming.
It makes me fear the worst. It's like, you know, when you walk into the bathroom and you get overwhelmed at the smell of pine or lilacs and you're like, oh, what the hell happened in here 5 minutes ago that my eyes are watering now?
I mean, was Aaron Moran in here?
Yes. Was tea in there expressing some glands? What went on in this bathroom that I'm now being overwhelmed by the scent of pine? I feel that way with perfume and cologne as well.
It may be even deeper than that. According to a scientist named Dr. Yehuda Schoenfeld.
Oh, by the way, not one of the folks that helped the Nazis.
No.
No.
He works out of Tel Aviv University in Israel,
shocker,
as a matter of fact.
Shocker there.
And he's studied women and perfume, and he says the main reason that women saturate themselves in too much perfume is because they're depressed. In his research, he's found that depression can attack a person's body. And one of the first things that happens is that the person starts losing their sense of smell. So that person thinks they need more perfume because they can't sense a reasonable amount.
Meanwhile, I'm losing my sight because my eyes water when I come home on Friday, and Sylvia's like, permeates the entire house.
That's a hard conversation to have with somebody.
Me and Molly had a nap outside.
Did you express her glands?
Well, it's a weird conversation to have with someone. Like, you smell too good, okay? It's a weird thing, and there's a language barrier. You think Ozzy can't communicate? Oh.
That's tough, because the international symbol for you, I mean, you'd have to plug your nose, and then there's no good way of expressing it.
I don't know what to do. I'm going to blame something on the kids.
Just say they have allergies.
I'll take some sandpaper to Sonny's forehead and say, listen, he's breaking out now. Come on now.
It's a rash.
Yeah.
It's a rash based on your perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe you'll have a little more compassion now, because it could be that her sense of smell is off. It has to be recalibrated because she's depressed.
You get depressed, you lose that sense.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, it is, because other senses are physical. If you think about it, your eyes, that's physical. I mean, that's mechanically wired up, and your hearing is physical too, and taste, physical. But scent, that's sort of not physical. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not a scientist, and I've never thought about this before, but it doesn't matter how depressed you are, your eyes are going to work unless somebody takes a poker to them.
Yeah.
Your scent, I don't know if they're physical. You know, your ears have little hairs in them that move around when sound passes and so on and so forth, and you have taste buds. It might be hard to turn those off, but scent, I don't know. Maybe you can turn that off.
Well, it seems to make sense that your ability to use your olfactory sense would be deadened, because when you're depressed, everything's more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Wish I could shut mine off before I went to Kimmel's for football on Sunday. Because Cousin Sal will do some damage. Maybe I ought to just get depressed before I show up. Yeah.
Well, I'm sensing it's time to wrap. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Prisoner David was going to be on the show, but he may be in lockdown.
Oh, no.
I couldn't imagine being Prisoner David. And when he gets into lockdown, he can't call us for a month. And it's always because one guy tried to smuggle a hustler into his bunk or something, and then they just go on lockdown. And I'm the kind of guy where if somebody isn't turning right when it's legal for them to turn right, even though the signals are, I go berserk. Like, what the hell? Why am I being punished? If I was in lockdown for a month because some guy, you know, tried to steal some cigarettes, I would go insane. I would never, there'd be one full, my cellmate would have killed himself a long time ago.
Himself? Shivved long ago.
I would have been killed. Yeah, it's a decent point. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, something we're going to get to about 3 hours ago and never really did. Little love advice. 866-901-ADAM. We tried it last week. You guys seemed to enjoy it. And thus, we're going to do it this week. I'm well qualified, and so is T. Love advice. 866-901-ADAM. Give us your questions. We'll tackle them next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where Adam and Teresa are dishing out free love advice. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's hurry and hop on and speak with Jesse, who's 25. Jesse?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, okay. Jesse. What's up?
I'm heading back to SD here in a couple months, and the lady's coming with me, wondering if it's a good idea or not.
Moving in.
The situation is I'm in Redondo Beach right now with her working in Hollywood temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
We've been going about 4 or 5 months now and seems to be all right, but...
Yeah. I'm going to say all the people I lived with, male and female, before I got married didn't really work out. You learn to hate whoever you're rooming with. They start to annoy you. When you're married to them, you're annoyed, but you go, ah, screw it. When you're living with them, you're annoyed, and the voice gets louder in your head every single day. To eventually, you just hear the key turn in the lock, and you're automatically annoyed. They become roommates. They don't become lovers. They become roommates. Something happens.
Give it a positive spin? Just moved in with somebody. Of course, I'm a bit older than you, 4 years. And mm-hmm. I'm having the best time. I love it. I'm so happy. I can't wait to get home. When I get home and his car's not in the driveway, I'm sad. I will tell you this. There's something very, very intimate that happens when you move in together that no one talks about. There's a reckoning financially. You have to know what each other has and what you can afford. That is a very intimate thing, and I don't know if everyone's prepared for that when they move in together.
Yeah, mine's more emotional than it is financial, but the financial does play a part because it becomes a stress, and
right.
That stress is felt by the relationship. Teresa, you're looking to get married.
Yeah.
You're planning on getting married. That's right. Different. If you're planning
there
on...
There is talk.
Are
There's
you planning? There is talk. All right. I would say, okay, here's my rule. If there is a plan of getting married within a year, then you can live together. If it's just talk off in the distance, if you're both 23 years and maybe when we finish grad school, one day down the road we'll get married, then don't move in.
Jesse, is this the girl?
Hold on. Is this her?
It's questionable, I guess.
Oh, man. Mr. Romantic.
Officially too long a pause.
That is awesome.
Oh, is she the one you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been about...
I just realized she was the one with a radio. You better change his story quick. All right, I'm done with him. Girlfriend's twin is better than her.
I like Cisco's question, but I don't know if I can answer it in a G-rated manner.
Oh, Cisco? Okay, let's try to do Cisco. Cisco?
Yeah, what's up?
Your girlfriend not great in the oral department?
Well, I mean, she's just not cutting it. I mean, if, like, anything, I'm, like, you know, getting kind of warmed up and, you know, motivated to do something, and then mm-hmm. shows.
Mm-hmm.
He completely actually kind of kills it. It doesn't work.
She's not good at it, or she's not motivated to do it?
No, she's motivated to do it, but she just really is not good at it.
Oh, really?
Well, the motivation is the most important thing. I've got two quick ideas.
I look at oral like I look at day laborers. There's no such thing as bad, only lazy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And you know how you can... Here are two quick things.
Show
me. One...
Because nobody receives like the Ace Man.
You're the best at oral. Receiving.
Look, you guys talk all your talk about how good you perform on a lady. Nobody gets performed on like the Ace Man.
Two quick ideas. One, this is kind of on you, Cisco. If she's doing something right, just be loud about it. If she's doing something wrong,
hit
be
her
quiet
with a slipper.
With a slipper.
I see.
And that's how you get the cues of what's good and bad, because you guys all like different things. Secondly, just rent a porn. Those girls know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Cisco, would she let you rent a porn?
I don't know if she's into. She kind of gets mad about me going to, you know, strip clubs and everything like that. I guess she's kind of like insecure or something.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you give her the cues when she's doing something you like, where you moan a little more?
I try to. I can try. It's kind of weird.
No, look, it's like this. It's like this. You know, when it's feeling good, you gotta. That's good.
Well,
and then when it's not good, you go. Hmm. Oh, were you performing oral?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Cisco.
I hadn't noticed.
Or you could just.
Whose head is that? Sweetie, is that you? Oh, what happened? What are you doing down there? I thought you were blowing up a raft, bitch. I didn't know you were. Oh, yeah. You see the difference? Cisco? Hold on. Cisco?
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, my brother.
Yeah, sounds good then.
We straightened him out. All right, we're running late. We have more calls than we know what to do with. We need to take a break. We'll be back to wrap it up. Well, just enough time to give thanks where thanks are due. Although Kelly, super fast. Kelly?
Yes.
Quickly.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I think maybe your unibrow intimidated me because I was not a big fan. A friend of mine told me about your show. I am a big, big, huge fan now. I agree with almost everything you say. And Teresa is like...
Sorry, we're out of time. All right.
Goodbye.
That hurt.
It said Teresa and Brian are great on the screen. That's the only reason
funny.
I talked to her.
But it hurt.
She praised me. I thought it was funny. Scott Baio. Scott Baio is 46 and pregnant. Season premiere Sunday, 10 p.m.
Just shut up.
On VH1, Eric Stromer. And that over your head. It's two things I'd like to be with him. HGTV. For dates and times, you just go to HGTV.com. Sensible World of Soccer, that's the game you play right now on your Xbox 360. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo.
I gotta express the anus.